live.
Yeah.
On Blog Talk Radio.
The
Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Well, can you imagine each and every day it becomes more and more apparent that the CFL is back in town? Well, as of yesterday, and I didn't have the heart to go yesterday, I on the other hand, I'm a wimp compared to Chad Cackard. And I've seen him. Yeah, what a class act. I love that kid. 25 years old, and he's got it all figured out. And I'll tell you something. None of it seems to be leaking out any opening in his body. None of that frustration or brokenheartedness that must be trying to work its way into his mind. You know, there's forms of adulation that we have for players, and there's times when we think that players are so special. You know, they can do no wrong. All they do is right. And there's one kid that from the day that I saw him stroll onto the field, from the first time I spoke to him, from the first time I watched him, you know, chilling, if you will, like all the players or the players that are willing to mix and mingle with the fans at a place called Shula's Joe's, where, of course, John Granger and the rest of the Argos for Life hang out. It's a good thing. It's a truly, truly good thing that we have a young man here who is taking what has to be distressful at best. You know, I can't even go to the practice to look at him because I'll start crying. That's me. I'm a wimp. That's me. I care. That's me. What am I doing? So when I look at this young man and I watch him and I see him in an interview and he's all positive. This is the kind of guy you want around your team. And honestly, folks, as much as you've heard me talk on behalf of the players, and ironically, as I would suggest, because of situations like this, here's a guy who works all his life towards a career, and but for a seam in a carpet, a quirk of fate, a roll on an ankle, no one else around him, it's all. So in right in Milanovic, Barker, and the Argonauts to offer him a contract. Now we're gonna play his interview, so you don't have to take my word for his attitude. I mean, you listen, you'll hear. You know what? Why don't I just play it now? Before we bring the guys in, I gotta find it though. Now I just loaded her up. I just cranked her up in there, and I gotta tell you, I am totally. There is nothing that impresses me more than someone who has the ability to rise above adversity and look at what's good and what's not, you know, defeatable, something that you can't overcome. And this kid has done that. His attitude is something, my goodness, it's almost ridiculous. It's almost ridiculous how well he's handling it. listen to this young man talk about 3 years into a career at the Canadian Football League, 25 years old, walks up to the mics, a few mics, and discusses his retirement and how it came about.
When did you know that it was time to hang him up?
A couple days ago.
Yeah?
What? I mean, it's a... You know, I expected to come back and, you know, be on IR, but I understand the circumstance of the league and my situation. You know what, I don't want to hand out. I don't want to come onto a team and just take a paycheck while I'm sitting around not helping anybody. So I'm in a position now where I can help people, and it's a different contract, but it's a priceless opportunity.
Is there a chance that you can come back?
I'm gonna rehab. I mean, I want my leg to get better, just because who wants to walk around on a gimp leg the rest of their life? And if it's sooner than rather than later, then, you know, I'll reevaluate. But as of right now, I'm going to get my leg better, and I'm going to coach this team as far as strength and conditioning goes.
Milanovic and Barker apparently had conversations in anticipation that this might be the case. Did you speak to either one of them, or was this completely your decision at the end?
I was in touch with them here and there in the off season, and... as the season approached more, I talked to Milanovic on the phone, and I kind of let him know, here's where I'm at, and I asked him if it was a surprise to him, and he said, no, we're not surprised by it. So as far as the details of what their plan was, I don't know exactly, but they spoke to me before camp started a few days ago and kind of laid out what the situation was going to be.
Who broached the idea of this position? Was it something Jim thought of, you thought of, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, I went and I spoke with Jim and Scott, and they asked me what I thought I might want to do after football, and that was something I said, and they thought that would be something that could help the team. And, you know, Jim, he's never going to make a decision that's going to hinder the team or not get them to the Grey Cup. And so he said, I'm not doing this. This isn't a favor for you. This is because we think this will help our team get better and prepare every week. So
how did it feel today being on the sideline and watching?
It's a little tiring standing for 3 or 4 hours straight. I'm sure you guys know, but no, it felt good. And the guys are buying in, and I really appreciate that from them. Is you know, they're calling me coach already, and they're asking me for workout tips. And I mean, we all work out together in the off season, so it's new to them just as much as it's new to me. But I'm going to spend my time while they're in meetings. I'll be doing my research, and I'll be getting programs written up for these guys, and it'll be fun.
We'll do our thing. So the mic was dead, just like me. And I guess sometimes stuff happens, and you know, you try to take care of it. And the distraction is that John keeps disappearing. Okay, so sometimes you know, bad things happen to good people, and Chad Cackert is one of those people. He's a good person, and unfortunately. A career that started when he was very young now ends abruptly without any warning, and now he looks forward to being a coach. Now, having said that, he hasn't given up yet on the career. I mean, Bruce, how would you feel if you were in the position of a kid like Chad Cackert?
Well, I'd feel hoot. You know, he wants to play football, right? You know, that's his first love, and so... If he can't have his first love, he might as well have his second love and coach the guys and make them better and stronger and fitter, you know. So I admire him, you know. Like I say, I'm a Ticat fan. You know what I feel about the Argos. But, you know, he's a player, and that's totally different than a team.
Yeah, I understand. You understand me, and I understand you, and some people don't understand either of us. And to make it clear, number one, we root for our teams. Number two, these are people.
People is the main one, actually, you know. Like, I don't like to see anybody injured like that, you know. That sucked. But life does go on, and he's making the best of it. And, you know, a lot of guys could just sit down and cry. But, no, man, he got back up, and he seems to, like you said, he's still conditioning the leg. You know, he doesn't want to walk around with a gimp. So, right there, he wants to get back in, I hope he does, whether or not it's next year or in a couple of years, because, like you said, he's a young guy, and he's got, you know, at least 10 more years, that he could come back realistically,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, realistically, yeah, absolutely. And we've heard many times where there's players that haven't had, you know, we even in the CFL where you get a guy who's a backup for a long time and doesn't really get the hits and all that. So he might be 27, but he's like he's 23 because physically he hasn't gone through what Burris has gone through, you know, what Ray has gone through. And
yeah.
Every other veteran that's in the league, right? So
he's more of a contact player, right? So, you know, he's got to condition his body totally different than a quarterback, too. But I wish him all the best, you know?
Me too.
All the best.
Now, a guy who recognized this young man's talent way back in the day before he actually became a starter, and John Granger felt when he first saw him that this was a kid with a future. John, how do you feel how his future has worked out?
It's of course it's a sad moment just to be able to fathom the fact that, you know, somebody his age would be ending it. But guys, he's not. There's no way anybody who grows up. Remember, we're talking about American boys growing up in their blood, California. You're playing it all year round, basically there. It's one of those things that just doesn't leave you. It doesn't make you feel good when you can't help the team, and that's what it comes down to. And he's when you are a running back, and his money is made on his cuts and his burst of speed. Okay, those sharp angle cuts, and he finds the hole and he's in it. And well, that's not a funny, but he's got to go through at least a year of rehab, and by being a conditioning coach, it just fits, you know, that perfect fit where he'll be around the football atmosphere. The worst thing for him is to be isolated and separating himself from the business. He should be on the field in the frame of mind, going through the motions by being at the practices, being at the games. It's all in the big picture. This is not over for Chad. It has to be done this way, psychologically, publicly, PR-wise, the whole
league rules-wise. The league rules are what cause him to. It's best for the team and the player that he retire.
Absolutely right, Frank.
On
you
paper.
Hit it on the nail.
On paper.
You hit it on the nail. That it's the politics of it, and this is the way it's got to play out. But the reason why you don't see the tears. And that, you know, expected sort of like we see when people retire, right? Oh, my God. And, you know, we've seen the Edmonton hockey player, Smith, bawling his eyes out. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. The guy's got passion, and people like that, I'm not mocking them or anything. It comes from the heart. And but what I'm just trying to say, the gist of retirement and the announcement of retirement, you expect something like that, but not when Chad said it in the way he said it. He said it with a smile on his face. You know what I mean? It was like,
but knowing Chad, John, we know
it's
Chad. He's one of those guys that doesn't wear, he doesn't look like he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I'm not saying he's cold or anything.
No,
but he's
Frank,
very...
you know what? No, I got to tell you, he does. And I got to tell you something. It's because he, in his heart, he doesn't feel like he's retiring. You know, I don't feel like he is. I don't think he feels like he is. By being around the team, by being, like I said, conditioning coach, just giving the right fit to condition himself, to get himself healthy. It's a long recovery, a break like his. I mean, God, of all times, of all places, and, you know, things happen for a reason. There's got to be a blessing in disguise somewhere here, and I'm sure he's going to find it. He, like everybody says, he's a strong guy. He's a strong kid. So I think he's going to survive. He'll be back.
I'm positive that he's
Amen.
Going to survive.
Yeah,
he is
Amen.
The kind of person that does nothing but survive.
Yep.
He's the kind of guy that led a team, you know, as a second-year player, you know, half year, in fact, or a little less or more, you know, play the position full time. And he
right.
went in the Great Cup, and he won. You know, he won MVP. I mean, the guy has the talent.
Sorry, I mean winning the Great Cup, and I remember meeting him. Just a little reminiscing here. I remember meeting him, and I, you know, on the field on Fan Day, the rookie, and I know he's the rookie because if anybody knows Arundel campus and the lovely, lovely bird droppings from the geese that are rampant there on the field, right? The one thing that you don't do, and all the, you know, senior guys know it and second-year guys know it, but the one thing you don't do, and the rookies always do it, is you wear flip-flops. And you don't wear flip-flops on a grass field covered with bird shit. And
that they cut pretty high.
And I saw him standing there because, you know, the rookies are isolated. Nobody knows their number, and nobody knows nothing of it. But I had to go and tell him that he's a future. There's a future for him. When I saw him do that cut in that Winnipeg Bombers game on the road in the preseason game, and he just did that double scissor kick cut and just took off. I mean, it looked like the Roadrunner. And the fact that he loves being on the road and driving, I kind of made sense, but I guess Cack Attack got the nickname. I still think he's the Roadrunner. I think this guy has a future still. He had a future then. I thought he's got talent. I see a lot of training camps. I see a lot of running backs. But the speed, he's got speed. And it's sad, but then again, there's got to be a blessing in disguise here, and I believe he's going to come back stronger. I really do. As a Chad fan, I'm in his corner, guys. You have to be.
You have to be, whether you're a Chad fan or not, just to play that food.
It's about the player.
You know?
It's about the player.
That's right. Absolutely.
So Manasseh.
And I think actually being the strength and conditioning coach will make him stronger, too, and, like,
true.
Quicker.
It keeps his foot in the game, no pun intended, his leg in the game.
No.
Right? And that's an important thing. Manasseh, I heard you laughing.
Yeah.
He can use the pun. He's got a leg up doing it this way, too. You know?
Yeah, he sure does. Are we going to use all these jokes?
You have 10 seconds to complete your recording.
Here we are being...
Please continue after the tone.
Left.
The show's over, guys. Thanks for taking part. It has been a pleasure. Actually, that was one of our new. We've attracted a Calgary Stampeder fan to the group.
Is that what we call it? Attracting.
I've called him twice, and I just got his answering machine. So his name is Storm Schmidt, and Storm right now has a message waiting for him with a show on it for about 10-15 seconds, whatever minute or whatever. But anyway, having gotten through that conversation, and Manasseh, do you have anything to add on Chad Kacker 3 years in? You know, we could even open this conversation to the fact that isn't this what the CFLPA is concerned about, and is one of the reasons why they say they're negotiating so hard for the players?
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but... You got, for me, with Chad Kacker, the thing that stood out with him was I remember in 2011 in a preseason game at Winnipeg, and he had this huge run. Yeah, and I remember seeing that thing, and, man, this guy's legit. And I just thought, you know, even when Corey Boyd got let go, I knew in the back of my mind, I was like, no, they'll be fine, because I knew the potential he had at the time. And, man, he blew up in 2012. But the thing that stuck with me was the interview with Milanovic and Chad Owens. At the end, both guys said that they expect him back next year or maybe another year down the road. So I think we haven't seen the last of
Yeah, don't pay it. Don't, you know what? Like I said, and I threw it in there, and you know as well as anybody, that there's a politics and a paper trail that needs to be maintained. And that paper trail right now says retired, but it doesn't mean forever. Retired for this year, to be reviewed again next year. This isn't an Anthony Calvillo retirement here. This is something where there's some hope, you know, and nobody wants to really talk about it because nobody wants to jinx that hope, right?
Right.
How about you, Mike? What do you think of Chad Owens' retirement? Chad Kackert's retirement. That's all I need is another Argo to go down. Chad Kacker going down, retiring 3 years in. What do you think of that? Your comments.
First of all, I'd like to say good evening, fellas. How y'all guys doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Good.
Oh, man. Mike. Doing my thing as usual, man. You know, so hanging in there. But I don't think it's going to be for long, man. I think he's probably not 100% as far as injuries go. And he might need to take that year off to get 100%, man, like some guys do, you know. In order to be effective, you got to be 100%, man. And if you're not 100%, sometimes you feel that you can't give all to your team. So that's probably what it is.
Hey, listen, you know, both our buddies over there, Christopher and Manasseh, don't want to touch the fact that this is a perfect example of what the CFLPA has been talking about. That's tough about being a quarterback, a player, a running back, you know, any position. It's difficult at best to, to depend on a career, right?
Oh, come on, Frank. It's no different than a soldier in our military. There are catastrophic accidents that happen to them.
We're not talking about soldiers.
And that's part of the game.
But Christopher, truthfully, forget the soldier thing. Let's compare apples with apples, okay? You have the CFLPA has said that players have a short career. So, yeah, they can't wait for good money to come their way. So they're asking for it. Whether they deserve it or not is not what I'm saying. And the simple question, and just take the question for what it is. And, Mike, I asked you the question. Isn't this basically an example of what the players are talking about when it comes to the CFLPA and talking about the shortness of length of career in the CFL?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that's it. That's just the answer
exactly.
I wanted. Just wanted to hear that answer.
But that's the way you roll the dice when you're in a full contact sport.
Well,
it's
you know,
part of
it's
the
funny.
Game.
It's funny. We all, listen, I roll the dice too, right? I roll the dice too. Every day I roll the dice. I walk across the street, I roll the dice. But,
right.
You know, there's no need, I don't disagree with what you're saying, Chris. I agree with you. But what you're doing is you're comparing apples with oranges, and you're trying to determine the cost of tomatoes based on the price of apples.
What was Chad Cackard making per year in dollars?
It's not as much about the money as the term, as is always the case with contracts and life in general.
I'm sorry? I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Okay. For you, I'll make it simple for you. It's not how much you profit in 1 year; it's how much you profit on the long term. Because your whole life isn't based on 1 year's worth of profits. Your investment isn't based on 1 year of profits or 2 years of profits. You're kind of hoping it's a little longer than that, Christopher. That's how a football player is the same as a business, and that's all I'm
trying to say. And legislation changes, and my liquor industry, and I'm out of business.
Exactly.
And don't tell me that can
and
happen. And
does
it does happen.
To you,
where
and
is
if that
my
does
compensation
to you,
for that?
And if that happens to you, I'll be sympathetic towards you, and I will mention that on this show. I'll say it's a shame that Christopher lost his ability.
I'm extremely sympathetic to Chad Cackard.
But there's nothing I can do about it.
About what happened to him.
We're just
there's
talking
nothing
here,
I can do about it.
We're not making rules.
No,
we're not judging rules.
No,
we're not judging
just...
people's blame. This is not about blame. This is just about circumstances. And as I said, there are players who under these kinds of circumstances, suffer a severe blow to their earning power and their careers. Fortunately for Cackard, he's got a team for whatever reason. We can all be, you know, different kinds of people. We can be, you know, jaded and insulting almost and suggest that the Argos are doing it just because of the labor negotiations, but I don't think that's the case. I think they would have done it anyway, you know. I believe what they're saying, that he's an asset for the team emotionally. So, you know, that's all I said. That's all it is. It's just an opportunity for us to understand a little better what the players are saying. Agree with it or not, just to understand it a little better.
I understand exactly what it is, and I understand their position and what they're trying to do and how important it is. And I'm looking at Chad Cackron's break, and I'm looking at the job and how he performs on the field, and I don't see him coming back next year.
Well, I don't. That's not the point. For me to determine for you and I to discuss that, that's just you can have that opinion. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and say I have no opinion on whether Chad will be there next year or not. But I trust this. This is the one thing I do trust. If he can be, he will be. But that's all I can say.
I mean,
that's it. You know, but I don't know that he won't.
That's what I think. That's what I think too, man. I think it's just injuries take effect, and he just might not be 100%. I mean, hey, he take a year off the rest, I mean, he might come back 100% and do real well this year.
Yeah, and we all knew that. And John especially. John told me, you know, he said, Frank, the injury is, you would not believe how bad it is and how many, you know, and just by the description of the injury, whether John told me and whether I understood what John was telling me is irrelevant. Just the description of the injury from what I heard, I mean, it didn't sound like something someone's going to recover from over a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't sound like that kind of injury, right, John?
Yeah, absolutely right, Frank. It's sad. Something else I have to interject for a minute that is sad. Somebody brought up Corey Boyd's name there for a minute. I have to send out my condolences to Corey Boyd and his family. His grandmother passed away a few days ago, and as a matter of fact, I just got off the phone with him 2 minutes ago while you guys were on mute. So, again, Corey, our condolences to you and your family, and God bless. He's going to have some kids in our Argo Lifer section this year, like I promised him to give him some tickets. So, all the best to you and your family, Corey. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's
ditto.
Yeah, my condolences too.
And we're hoping to see maybe Corey back. You never know.
You never know. You know, like a bad penny, anything can turn up again, right?
Yeah.
The worst analogy you could have used, man.
No, come on, Frank. There's a better analogy.
I didn't mean it in a derogatory sense. I'm saying even someone. Hey, listen. He didn't exactly leave with a with a bouquet of roses, John.
Yeah.
I always
left. He left under a lot of. I'm going to defend my comment because, quite frankly. Yeah. He didn't leave, you know, on good terms either way. And I'm not just talking about him. There were things said that were, you know, let's just say personal on a level of a willingness to do something. That's nice.
Who are we talking about?
Is that the Stampede
fan in
the background?
Corey Boyd.
Okay.
When the Argos left, the word was...
John, are you hearing anything, John, when you threw that out there? Is that based on a rumor or is that just, you know...
Yeah,
like they're just making it up.
No, I don't think anybody made anything up.
Back to Toronto.
No, there's no rumor about that.
There's a
no
better
rumor.
Chance
oh,
of him turning
okay.
up in Ottawa. There's a better
yeah,
chance
yeah.
of him turning up in Ottawa.
True enough.
Yeah.
When
Packer retired, man, I'm telling you right now, Steve Slayton is going to be the workhorse over there. So y'all not going to be limited at running back at all. So y'all got a good running back y'all just signed. So I'm going to get a chance to watch him on the field play, man.
Well, I got to go there one of these days and check out what's going on. And I'm going to check what you're saying, Mike, and I'm going to check real hard. I'm going to make sure you know what you're talking about, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking
follow
about.
Follow that kid around. I'm going to walk around behind him to see if he can lose me.
Well, we got 7 days, boys, until either they're going to work something out or supposedly Alberta's going to allow them to strike. And they're not, and they're going to do it as a unified group. They could go
Which
do it individually as of Wednesday, but I think the talk is that they're going to wait till Alberta is cleared. And there's nothing to do with Quebec, just Alberta. And we'll find out, and it'll be 2 days before the 9th. So I guess the 7th, 8th, something like that. I guess the day before, the Argo is supposed to fly out to Winnipeg. They're not going to let them fly out, you know, if they're all going to be walking
turn the
next
plane
morning.
Around. Turn the plane around.
Yeah, yeah,
you,
no. They,
you
can, they can't even afford
that.
That
game?
Yo, I'm going. Listen. Guys. Let me just say it simply, and Frank, you know, whatever, CFL.ca, whoever's listening, they might not want to hear this, but this is an embarrassment to a commissioner to allow this to ever happen as the only guy who has allowed the oldest league in North America to go on strike, and he's going to be the first one as the commissioner to allow it to happen. He has gotten to go. If he allows this to happen, explain.
Well,
and
you're already calling for his. You're already calling for his head. Nothing's happening.
I am. My signs will be, and the CFL Players Association guys, whoever the reps are, have to be fired, because if they couldn't do it, and if the commish couldn't do it, they get somebody in there who does do it.
That's what I like about John. He doesn't pick on anyone in particular. He just throws everybody under the bus.
Everybody. This is not a league that can even talk strike. This is not a league that can even suggest a strike. This is not even a league that can even fathom a strike. So to BS us fans, to make us think that they will even do a strike, and if they go that far, like the players said, like Henry Burris said, you got to fire them if they don't do it, plain and simple.
Yeah.
He even said you got to fire the Players Association guys. I agree with him. And he said you got to get rid of the commissioner. And I agree with him on that, too.
Does anybody
know? You can't get rid of the commissioner.
First of all, I want to make sure everybody's had a chance.
How is this the commissioner's fault?
Because the commissioner is the representation. I don't care. I mean, he's the guy who's going to have the title for history, for life, the CFL life of this
league. Okay, all right, John, you made that point. Who else is in the room?
Thank you.
Hey, who else is on the phone that we haven't acknowledged yet?
R.J. Emery.
There he is. I knew I saw you there.
All I got to say is if the commissioner goes, man, y'all can just vote me in. I handle the whole situation.
didn't we ever have the commissioner, Donald Crump?
Russell's back. Hey.
Donald Crump. Didn't we have him one time?
No, I don't think so. I don't think his hair meets up to a standard in the CFL. Have you seen Kohan?
Right.
Yeah.
He's got nice. Kohan's got, Kohan's good looking. That guy Trump is, I don't know. Whatever.
Why don't we bring back Larry Smith or whatever his name was?
Larry Smith is a senator now. He doesn't have to do nothing for money.
Why don't we have a commissioner that played the game of football?
Yeah. I tell you what, if you think you have Donald Trump in the CFL as a commissioner, you really want your league to fold?
Hang on a second. I want Bruce John Inch said something very good. Bruce, repeat what you said.
Why can't we have a CFL commissioner that actually played the game of football? Same with hockey and Bettman. That's my question. And I answered, hang on a minute, let me talk for 30 seconds. I put this question out on the CFL besties. And everybody said, well, not everybody. Some people said that it's more or less because CFL players are dumb. Well, I got news for you, man.
Whoa.
Right? They more or less said that because they don't have the education.
Whoa.
Okay, most of these guys have degrees, number one. If not most, at least 40%. And that's giving them, that's. So there's got to be one guy or two guys or half a dozen guys out there that can do the same job that is Commissioner
Cohen. Do you want an answer to that? I'll give the first answer to that. As the host, I have the luxury of doing that. My first answer is that's like having a turkey determine when Thanksgiving is.
Why?
Bingo.
Why? Explain that.
I said what I said, and I'll stand behind it. Because the owners aren't going to put a guy in charge who's sympathetic with the players, because that would be an automatic thing.
That'd
be
like
bringing
Damon
Allen. Look at Wayne Gretzky, right?
Nobody wants Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, well, what's
the
difference?
Nobody
wants Wayne Gretzky. Nobody wants him as a player.
No, I think there's going to be an in-post show guy out there that's actually played the game of ball, and he's also a business guy, and he can put two and two together and come up with four.
Commissioner
now comes up with two and two, and he gets five for some reason. I don't know.
No, he gets three because he hides one for the owners.
You got to remember, Bruce, the commissioner is always hired by the owners. He's an employee to them.
That is
Ryder
fans right now.
Yeah.
You're man. You're entitled to your opinion. We are as us. You know, you're all for the commission.
By the way,
that's
Christopher,
cool.
I'm kidding.
I respect
for
you
sake.
For that, man. But you can't
kidding.
Come down on us just because we have a difference in opinion. That's all.
You know, Bruce has an opinion, and whether you don't like it or not, that's his opinion.
Well, a lot
okay,
of people
Christopher,
have
listen,
the same opinion that I do.
You had your opinion. I had my opinion. Now let's give Christopher his opinion. So, a player as the commissioner, why would it be bad?
You don't put the fox guarding the hen house.
Okay.
I like your analogy just as well. Don't let the turkey tell you when Thanksgiving is. It's not going to happen. There's no owner out there that's going to put a player in charge of their team. It's not going to happen. Not now, not ever. It's an act of stupidity.
Exactly.
They wouldn't do it.
On the owner's part. right? On the owner's part. But it would
be
brilliant on the
player's
part.
A coup for the players. Oh, yeah. It would be a coup. It's just not going
to
happen.
So to John's point, to Bruce's point, they're right. They're right that it's wrong that Commissioner Cohan is the commissioner because he doesn't understand one thing about playing football. The same way
you don't have to play football. It's a business right now we're dealing with. It's got nothing
right,
to do with the
exactly.
ball on the field. I don't care if you've never seen a football game.
Okay. But
it's a business.
Yeah, I gotta put myself on
money.
Mute.
I'm going to put myself on mute. I think I'm going to put myself on mute. No,
I
love that. I love it. I love it. I really do.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Oh, that was too funny. Christopher, you're going to die of a heart attack, bud.
All right. Listen.
No, I'm fine.
All right. So
I'm arguing with the Riders fan
can I get a vote
right
here?
Now. Sorry, guys.
Can I get a vote on here? And this is nothing about reality, just opinion. I believe, and this is my vote, I believe the Argos took Cackert on because they really think he's an important asset to the team. John, do you feel the same way?
Well, no,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. How about you, Bruce?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. How about you, Manasseh?
Yep.
What do you mean?
He's the strength and conditioning coach. Is it a legitimate?
Right.
Is it a legitimate hire, or as Cackert said, I don't want to be a charity. Is it a charity move? Is it a move the Argos are making because, as a pessimist might say, because of the players saying things, it would be horrible if that guy lost his job and lost the ability to earn money, whatever. Do you think that's the case, or do you think they just did it because they think he belongs in that position?
I think he's capable of doing the job.
There you go. That's the important thing. Mike, you too? You want to make it unanimous?
I just got in, man.
The question's real simple. Cackert, did he earn the position that the Argos have handed him, or was it, as he defined himself, a charitable move on the team's part?
Okay. What did they offer him, first of all?
He's a strength and conditioning coach now for the Argonauts. So he goes around
man,
and tells guys
well
how
deserved.
Many push-ups they should do.
Yeah, that's well deserved, man. That's
come
good. On, man.
That's
right? Come on.
He has that ability to do that job. So they're not giving him anything. They're not, you know, they're doing the right thing. At the end of the day, that's the point. I guess I'm trying to pull out of you guys. Like, okay, now let's go to Christopher's next favorite subject. Want to listen to this interview? We'll talk about this guy. He's worked his way into the lineup. He made some very nice comments about the CFL. I'm actually very proud of the way this guy talked. And you know what? If this is the way he behaves and this is the way he talks, he is going to be not just an asset to the Montreal Alouettes as a receiver, he's going to be an asset to the CFL in general. Listen to this interview.
I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not rusty. Rusty was in Vero Beach.
Yeah.
Now that was rusty. You know, the time I've had off, I got myself together, so I'm coming here hitting the ground rolling. Am I where I want to be? No. No, I'm not going to lie. But I have a long way to go, but I'm not rusty. A little different than I did in Florida because I hadn't done anything in so long. So, you know, I prepared for, you know, being able to be here. So it felt like a sort of an exhale, being able to be a part of a union, a whole, an organization, a team, and the camaraderie. You know, it's like finally. Cool. Now I'm in full tilt.
Yeah.
Full tilt ahead, no McDonald's 2-3 times a day, and you know, I run like a gazelle. The speed is exactly the same as the same thing I've dealt with the past 12 years in NFL. There's really no difference. I mean, anyway, and especially the competition level has been an eye opener, not only at minicamp but coming out here today. It's an eye opener again. The level of competition is really no different, including the speed of the game. So this is nothing to take as a joke. With me being on both sides of the fences now, this is the real deal up here as well.
Now, how can you not like a guy that talks that way about the CFL? To me, he sounded like a guy who legitimately was happy to be here, who's legitimately looking over the landscape, and he's actually quite impressed with what he's seeing. I'm totally pleased with what he said. Know what I mean, guys? Like, really? Let's start with you, Mike. You've been a big proponent of this guy. You've spoken highly of him. What did you think of that interview, and did that reflect the guy that you have claimed from the beginning would be an asset to the team in Montreal?
Exactly. That's the guy that I was talking about right there. I mean, he's not taking it for granted. He said he's been away from the game for 2 years. He's been on both sides of the fence. I mean, all Chad want to do is come in and play and help the team as much as he can. He's not trying to come in and be that guy. But he's a veteran receiver that played in the NFL that had success maybe, what, nine out of 11 years, Pro Bowls, 1,000-yard receiving, touchdowns. I mean, the celebration dances in the end zone when he scored. I mean, come on, man. If you're not a fan of Chad Johnson seeing that, I don't know what the deal is. And he's going to bring that excitement to the CFL. I can't wait to see what his first touchdown dance is going to be, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
And then plus he's a veteran presence for the young guys coming up like De'Ron Carter. Him and S.J. Green can kick off each other on different things. S.J. can show him some things of the Canadian game, and also Chad can show him some techniques that can help him be a good, I'm not going to say a better receiver, because S.J. is the number one guy over there to me. Show him some tips that will make you more efficient and effective being a down the field deep ball catcher.
I mean, there you go.
Chad comes in with some good baggage.
With some good credo. And credentials. Tell me what you think of this guy in all seriousness. Is he going to be an asset? Plus, minus? Yeah. Ocho Cinco.
Yeah. I have a funny feeling he's gonna be a good player. Maybe for about a year, maybe 2 years. If you look,
okay.
You know, we've had a few NFL players that came down into the CFL, and it just wasn't the same for them, you know?
I hear you.
He's
ready to play. He's done a wonderful job of convincing the coaching staff that he belongs. Manasse, I personally like his attitude. How about you? Oh, sorry, I got the wrong guy here. It's Christopher. Christopher.
So,
are you there, Chris? Yeah.
I'm here. You haven't got my mic?
Your mic's up.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. It was my mistake. Listen, I can't not ask your opinion. You're in the room, and just because I know you're not going to say nice things about the guy doesn't mean I'm not going to ask you.
I don't think you might not be correct there.
Oh, good. And that's why I'm asking.
My opinion of him playing in the CFL has not changed. I still agree on the BC Lions' position on why they didn't keep him. But now that he is in the league, he is going to do nothing but good things for us. His position right now, saying CFL game is fair, he thought it was. It's more competitive than he thought it was. All of these things are going to do nothing but hit the U.S. media coast to coast.
Absolutely.
And it can do nothing but good things for us.
And Christopher, they don't have to rely on what he says. If it just tweaks them into checking out the game, they're going to go, wait a second.
Wow. Agreed. He is going to be the number one star, not on the but in bringing the people of America towards our game. And how the
and
hell
the
can that
of
be
Montreal.
A bad thing?
And the people of Montreal, we all...
which is most important.
Exactly.
Which is more important. It's way more important.
Pick up on it, Manasse, because I believe that's true. I believe it's as important to Montreal as it is to the CFL that he builds this team and this league up.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to come out the gates and do pretty well, and that's what they're going to need. I mean, the Owls need to get off to a good start. They need to win, and he has to play at a high level and get, you know, a lot of end zone dances, to Mike's point, and just generate that hype and get, because they need to sell that stadium out. You know, they haven't done
Frank
it since 2010.
Kelly.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead. No, go, Manasseh. Go ahead.
Sorry,
yeah, that's
Manasseh.
It. I'm done. No, that's all I need to say. And then for the American side, like, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of record guys on Montreal that people recognize, you know, Troy Smith, Chris Carter's son, Deron Carter. So there's a lot of, you know, attention to that team just from down here already that I hear from people. So if he can play at a high level, they'll be playing his highlights on ESPN just to show his end zone dances and say, hey, look, Chad's out here in Canada. And that's all it takes to get people interested and check out the
league.
Yeah,
we thought he was done. You know,
like dinner.
That's a good thing and a bad thing, you know, because they're going to say, well, he was done down here in the NFL, but now he's a hero up in the CFL. That might be a double-edged
sword.
Yeah,
but you know what that's going to do.
That's not true, Chris. Come on. I mean, realistic. Can I just address that? Let's just be honest.
Yeah,
the CFL, we know the talent pool we're talking about here, right? These are guys that aren't good enough to get in the NFL, and they're there. So realistically, you know, let's be real. If he comes out here and play, he should. This is the caliber of players he's at right now. He's not good enough to be in the NFL, but he's good enough to be in this talent pool. So,
And Manasseh, you can also add this point, and Christopher, all the players that are going down south, you know, just because he's headed in this direction, there are a lot of other players who have gone down south recently who headed this way too. You know, it's not just about veterans. It's also young guys that, you know, are coming up here to play the game and learn their craft, and if you read the article about the KC Chiefs and Drexler, they're surprised at how good he is and how professional he is. So, you know, as much as what we can talk about with, you know, Ocho Cinco coming up here, a few of them down there go, yeah, we know that. That's why we brought some guys down here, and we've seen how they can play. So, you know, it's not like the CFL is not a step down, because anybody in this group that thinks that the CFL does not have the same caliber of players that the NFL does are completely smoking crack, because they have better players in the NFL. What is adorable for us and what's attractive for us is our game is better, and good players play that much better playing our game. And that's where Chad Johnson's going to really find out how tough this game is. I'm not saying he's going to fail, but I'm not saying he's going to succeed either. But he's going to be tested. Okay, now
I still think
I'll
the league needs to get Tim Tebow, though.
Oh,
if Tebow ever showed up to the CFL, the CFL would blow up. Like, the hype for the league would just be 10 times what it is.
Well, there
now.
Was a question. People are questioning whether he should come back to the NFL. Bruce John Inch now is involved in this conversation. Bruce, where do you want to go with it?
Well, I wish him all the best. I'm not, you know, but we'll see what he does on the field. And, you know, he can look good in practice because you're getting most of the reps and getting most of the pictures taken, I've seen. But, you know, come game time, we'll see, man.
Talent? Do you think he has the talent to play?
Oh, man.
I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent. I'm just saying he's been away from it for a couple of years. Obviously, he's got the talent. Montreal wouldn't have signed him, number one.
There you go.
You know? And
so
but,
far,
know.
He's done what they... I don't think anybody can dispute. Again, the pessimist might suggest that he's here for PR. And nobody can suggest that he's failed.
His swagger,
and he's sharing his swagger with the CFL, which no one should criticize or be against, I don't think.
No.
Okay, John,
I can see him doing a Canadian McDonald's commercial real soon, too, you know.
There you go. Okay. I brought John in to
because
talk with
can,
you, so... So I'm trying a new system today, guys. Instead of having eight guys with the mics open, I'm sort of crawling up and down the thing here and giving you guys a chance head-to-head. So now we got John and my buddy Bruce John Inch discussing Chad Owens here on Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank Live. CFL is the best football in the world. There's no doubt about that. That's a for sure thing. And many of the people in this room have been historically following the league for decades. Some of us are relatively new or returning to the live action like myself. I haven't forgotten about the game. I didn't leave the game, but I didn't go personally to check out the game, and I'm doing that now. And I hope the rest of you take the opportunity to do that as well. And with us in the room, we're sort of alternating. We've got three, six, nine of us in the room. I make nine or one, whichever way you want to look at it. We've got Mike Townsend. We've got Rob J. Emery. We've got Christopher Jones. We've got Manasseh Gebremadin, Bruce John Inch, and as I said, John Granger right now on the mic, and we'll be moving up towards one of our new members, our newest and freshest member, a fan of the Calgary Stampeders, the home of the best cheerleader costumes. And I want to make sure that we understand this. Best cheerleader costumes, not cheerleaders, but cheerleader costumes. And, of course, we have Kelly Bale, who's back because I pulled him back in, and my name's Frank Stanishi, and we hope you're enjoying the program. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to talk CFL football between the hours, I hate to say this, but I gave in to Chris, 10 to 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So that's where we're at. So John and Bruce, you two feel that, well, I'll go with John now. John, do you think this is a positive move for the CFL, this guy, Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, whatever name you want to call him?
Well, as far as exposure goes, yeah, that's a good thing. His wording is very smart. I think the way he said it was he's just saving himself a lot of hard hits, but he's also in for a rude awakening.
He's not making
any. He is going to be a target. Any NFL guys who come up here are always a target. Ask Williams when he came from Miami and he played up here. He was getting the hardest hits, and the defense are going to go after him. I'm not going to say somebody said that, you know, the talent equals. I think he lost his talent, you know, this NFL caliber talent back when he was playing with the Bengals. So it just faded away in his popularity state because he was a popular guy.
John, do you think it has something to do with the fact that, you know, we always joke about like Caleros and other players in the CFL where there's no film on them yet playing, you know, they develop film. And now the films on Chad Owens are all about NFL films. You know, that it's got to be – it's not only prestigious for him to have
Chad
that.
Johnson.
Chad Johnson, thank you for correcting me. I appreciate it. But I think you understand what I'm saying. The fact that he's an NFL guy just breeds, you know, intensity in the opposition.
Absolutely.
They spread.
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. It creates a little bit of an extra fire for them. And you know why? Because guess who's going to be on the highlights? Whoever knocks him out is going to get the ESPN highlights because the CFL, Chad Johnson, got knocked out by so-and-so from Winnipeg Blue Bombers or whoever, right? So, you know, it's one of those things, too. It's part of it. And as far as the exposure down south, look, because of the Carter connection and the NFL thing and, you know, him going up there, it's going to get a couple of highlights here or there. I'm not sure if it's going to carry a lot unless he does well. I don't know if Chad's going to last three games. If he's going to start all three,
interesting prediction.
Yeah, I think we should put a number out there. I'm going to say on the
over-under?
Three.
The over-under on the survival of Chad Owens in the CFL?
Yeah, three games or less.
All right, we'll do that one. We'll do that. The over-under on Chad Owens. We'll give everybody a chance after we're done with this segment, this piece of the action. And I brought Kelly Bale in to listen to what you were saying. And Kelly, and what others have said. Kelly, your chance to share your opinion on what you've heard thus far.
I definitely agree with some of the guys here. You know, it is what it is, kind of, is I think a good statement to kind of sum up what everybody's saying. And John made a point that I like to harp on all the time when I'm talking about Chad Johnson, is this is great publicity for the CFL down south. And I've said that since day one. You know, we're all aware that any type of publicity is good publicity. So whether it's positive or negative, the message is getting out, and Chad Johnson's helping us do that. So you know, my big thumbs up to him for that. And, you know, from what I've seen so far, he's more than a gentleman. I mean, I was expecting something completely different, having not watched him a lot.
Understand, Kelly, I'm very disappointed to hear you say that. You know,
what's that?
An open-minded guy like you, I'm disappointed, and I don't mean this. Don't worry, it's not a personal indictment. But you know, you're the victim of what a lot of people are victims of. They judge people on 30 seconds of their life in 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and it hangs over them like a dark cloud. And I think that's the point. And I'm going to bring Mike Townsend in because I'm just saying what Mike's going to say. Oh yeah, and you know. because quite frankly, clearly, you know, he's just an ordinary guy who did something stupid that people hung their hat on and made a career out of. And this guy's suffering for the mistakes that he's made, that other people make, that everyone makes. Now, I'm not saying that everyone makes the same mistake, but we all make mistakes. Right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. We all make mistakes. And the thing about it is, Frank, if you were to check out any of the interviews from Chad's former teammates, coaches, everybody harps about him, man. There's nothing negative to say about Chad Johnson, man. He's a good teammate. He's the first one in the building, and he's the last one to leave. The guy is a hard worker, man. He's a hard worker. And I wanna you have me muted, and I wanna say something on what John Granger was saying. If you think he's gonna last three games, man, you're crazy, man. That guy's gonna go through the whole season, man.
If he signs a contract and if he's got an opportunity to play and the coach feels that he's an asset, he will play the whole season.
I'm not saying he's not going to play. I'm saying he's going to get injured by the fourth game. That's what I'm saying.
No,
he's
I don't think that's
going to
bother
everybody. Everybody thinks about just because he hasn't played in a couple of years. You got to think about something. Any NFL person that comes to the CFL hasn't probably played in a year, year and a half before they come to the CFL.
Have you seen the size of Chad?
John Beck.
Okay.
Yeah, I see the
he's sticking bones, man. He's a receiver. He's sticking bones. He's going to get shots. Watch.
Well, okay. Mike, I'm gonna close your mic. I just brought you in, Mike, because something was said that I think you wanted to jump on, and it's something that walked right into your wheelhouse. So, Kelly, this guy, and you know I'm not trying to be negative in any sense towards you, but you do agree that sometimes people make simple mistakes, you know, and it hounds them forever, you know, and sometimes
it's
up and down how much they get hounded for what they did. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
For sure. You know, I'm the first guy to give a guy a break most of the time.
I know you are.
You know, like you said, sometimes you just kind of take that little snippet or whatever, and you make more of it than really needs be. But you know, if
you
we're
like
done talking about
players getting in a brawl and outside a
same kind of thing. You know, it's just you know, maybe taken out of context or whatever, and Mike has pointed out why that is. And, you know, if we're done talking about Chad Johnson, I just want to mention one thing real quick and maybe ask Mike a question or anybody
that
might
know. Okay, can you save it for we haven't gone all the way through yet. I'll give you that shot. I'm going
to
bring in our new guy, Stormy Schmidt. Storm Schmidt. Can I call you Stormy?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Storm, do you have any insights into this guy that they brought in, Ocho Cinco from the NFL? Is it a good idea, bad idea? Will he work out? Won't he work out? Any opinions?
Well, I believe it's, you know, you just give a guy a chance, right? And you go from there. You can't just judge a person by just what they look at and
by what happens in the short term. Like at some point you got
to
judge a guy for what he does most of the time, not some of the time.
Yeah, you know, like Buddy was saying there, like, you know, you have certain things in your life that goes on and stuff like that. You know, like give a guy another shot, and if it works out, it does. If it doesn't, it does.
End of story. Stormy, tell me about being a Calgary fan. You're one of those hardcore Bruce John Inch type of guys. You spend a fortune on Calgary. You probably support Calgary more than anybody does. I'm sure you have to expand the back of your house to keep your stuff in it.
it's a great feeling. I mean, since 4 years old, I've been cheering for the Calgary Stampeders. And, you know, it's a great feeling. I love my Stamps. I always will. Spend thousands of dollars over the years and years and years for merchandise. And it's great. It's just a great feeling. I just love it. Better than the NFL football. It's just, I can't explain it. It's just...
Don't worry. The rest of these guys in here feel the same way as you. And the women who would call, if it wasn't for the way these guys have bad attitudes, there'd be more women in here, and they'd tell you the same thing. Storm.
Yeah, my roommate is sitting next to me, and she's an Edmonton Eskimos fan, but we get along about that, though.
You forgive her, though, right?
Forgive her, though.
She's forgiven, right? Now, hey, listen, I'm an Edmonton fan, too. I was pulling for them last year, very disappointed with the season. And what's her name?
Noella.
Noella? Listen, my heart goes out to you. Last year I kept talking. These guys kept laughing at me because I kept talking about Edmonton's going to turn the corner. Edmonton's going to turn the corner. Every time they turned the corner, it was into a bus or something. It was just terrible. It was a nightmare.
I don't think it's going to be this year, but, I mean, you know, they got a good team, but, you know.
They got one of our ex-coaches here in Toronto.
Yeah.
Christopher Jones. I mean, Chris Jones. Christopher Jones, the guy in the room. We have the other Chris Jones here.
As long as Saskatchewan doesn't win the Grey Cup again, I'll be happy.
How did you become are you an Alberta boy?
Yeah, born and raised in Calgary.
In Calgary. So you're a hometown hometown
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, but living in Edmonton.
Oh, you're living in Edmonton now.
Yeah, so it's a little bit difficult.
It must be difficult. Tell us about the difficulty of being an Edmonton CFL fan versus a Calgary CFL fan, and you being the Calgary one, and you have Noella in there that can, if she wants, she can pipe in too. It would be great. We don't have an Edmonton fan in the group right now.
She's
on the other line
already.
Is she? So,
yeah, but
Noella...
she don't want to talk, so...
She don't want to talk?
I
hear her. No. Hey, Noella, listen. Just a couple of quick questions. I promise not to put you in an awkward position. I promise it'll be painless. Well, a little anyway. It'll be a little painful because you got to talk about Calgary. Okay, it's a free country. She doesn't want to. It's cool. It's cool. No. Hey, listen. It's cool. Storm, I'm glad to have you on. We've been talking a little bit on Facebook and talking about football. So. You brought your fandom of Calgary, your fan belief of being a Calgary Stampeders fan. Now, I got to tell you this, Storm, and this comes from the bottom of my heart. Best uniforms and cheerleaders ever.
Absolutely. And cheers off to the cheerleaders. And yeah, she coughed as you said cheerleaders.
Well, you know, I was really pleased with the Grey Cup. We played you guys. Obviously, I was pleased that we won, and I'm sorry we did. But I had a great opportunity, thanks to John Granger, to go visit the 100th Grey Cup festivities, and I ran into a couple of Stampeders cheerleaders, and they were very, very accommodating. They were both willing to hold my cone while I took a picture.
Well, you know what? The CFL is the greatest game on earth, I think, in my opinion, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. And... you know, let's get this deal done. Let's get everything done. Let's get on the ball field, which they are. But, you know, let's get it done and play some
Let's start playing games.
And
the ones on the field.
At the end of the year.
There you go. Stormy, thank you for joining us, and you're welcome to stay as long as you wish. And we do tend to have some strong personalities in here, not to name names, Christopher. Weak ones like myself,
Do you have any Calgary fans in there?
No, that's why I was so pleased to have you come in.
Do you have
what we have right
fans
now?
Fans in your room at all?
Well, we have 3, 6, 8. There's 9 teams. There's 9 guys in here. 2 of them are Argo fans. 1 is a Hamilton fan. 1 is a BC fan. 1 is a Saskatchewan fan. 1 is a fan of maybe 7 or 8 teams. We haven't figured out yet how many. And another is sort of switching a little bit, not as much, but he's going to travel to each city to determine which one he likes better. He hasn't made the final decision, and his name is Mike Townsend. The most important thing that you need to draw from this visit that you've decided to make is that we have a couple of Americans in the room who really believe the CFL is a better league than the NFL. So you already have friends, people who agree with you 100%, And as I said, a couple of them are American. And I'll introduce you to all of them right now, Storm. And one of them is Mike Townsend. He's from Michigan. I'll have them say hello to you personally. So let's start with Kelly Bale, who is out there in Saskatchewan. Kelly, say hello to our new guy, Storm, a Calgary fan.
How you doing,
Storm?
How you doing, bud? Real good. So let me get this straight. You're a Calgarian living in Edmonton that cheers for the Riders?
No, cheer for the Stamps.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that makes more sense.
I think it does.
Still, but still, it's still hard living here, cheering for the Stamps and living in Edmonton.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I lived in Edmonton for a little while as well, and
that's gotta
definitely
be tough.
got some ribbing at the office from my coworkers about my love for the Riders, but luckily there was, you know, I mean, in Saskatchewan, the biggest import is people, right? So there was always a few Rider fans to rally around.
Well, I have to, you know, I have to give Saskatchewan credit. They got one of the greatest fans in the CFL. I mean, they could be a little bit arrogant here and there, but I mean, what team doesn't?
So really?
Fans don't sometimes
for
here
sure
and there, but
absolutely,
they got the good fan base, and they got a new stadium coming up, and so it's a good thing. I just don't like them.
Well,
thank
goes,
you.
Because
half my family's from Saskatchewan, so yeah. So
you answered my question as far as Saskatchewan is concerned. Is the animosity between Edmonton and Calgary that strong that we hear about in every sport, hockey, lacrosse, football?
I think it's more or less, I think it's now it's more or less it's Saskatchewan and Calgary, actually.
Because of the football?
Because of the football, yeah.
And because the other
hockey,
sports, except for lacrosse, are irrelevant.
Hockey has fell off a little bit with Calgary and Edmonton, which kind of disappointing because I remember the 80s and all that kind of stuff with the Gretzky's and Calgary and all that kind of stuff and the Flames run in 1989, but now it's just, I don't know, it seems like it's more Saskatchewan-Edmonton now in the CFL that there are more rivalries.
Well, that could change shortly because when Edmonton this year starts nipping at your heels.
If we have a year.
Because Ella'll be all over your feet. You know, she'll be chewing on your toes.
You know what? You know what? I'll tell you right now, okay? I'll tell you who's going to finish what. And this is just a guess, and sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not.
Please, please do. Everybody here has had their chance.
Usually when I guess good, I don't bet on it. And when
you best bad, you do.
Exactly. So, you know what? Who's gonna finish first is B.C., even though
ouch,
I don't like to say that. Calgary.
Good thing we got Jones'
Saskatchewan,
quote.
Edmonton, and Winnipeg. So write that down. Put it in your little note.
You know, we're in and around there. That's about where I'm at. All right. The next guy that's going to say hello to you is from Hamilton, and his team is the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And his
Henry
name
Burris
is Bruce John Inch. Bruce, say hello to Storm Schmidt of Calgary. In living Oski, in Edmonton, cheering for them.
Oski wee wee, buddy. How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
I love
glad
Henry
to have
Burris,
you on board.
Pardon?
Glad to have you on board.
Yeah, absolutely. It's first time, so, yeah, it's good.
Oh,
nice to talk
Bruce,
about
Bruce has a
and
bit of an accent. It takes getting used to. I think it's
trying to
figure
it
out where the accent's from, but I'm sure I'll figure it out one day.
It's probably from Nova Scotia or Newfoundland.
No.
Just I've always had it. I was born and raised in Ontario. Just I've always had it. Always.
There you go.
Some people say it's because I have a short tongue, but that's not what the ladies say. But whatever.
Oh! Wow!
Oh,
that was
man,
pretty.
Now, come on, now,
wow.
No, you
and
just,
you
no.
And you can find those ladies at Dundas and Queen and Hamilton.
Okay,
how did you know? How did you know?
So is cheerleaders here.
There you go.
How did you know?
And Storm, let's move right past that comment. Storm, also with us is the Argo fan. If you ever see anything that goes on in the Argos, this guy's pitcher is always there with Jamie. Call me Striped Face Wolodarski. Always. Banging his drum, so whenever you see it in Argo games, somebody banging a drum with a headdress on and a boat logo
yeah.
here.
Yes.
His name is
yeah,
John
what
Granger.
Up, Storm? I love
Mr.
that name,
Argo
Storm.
For life.
Yes. I love that name, Storm. What up? And I also, I love your prediction because I got Calgary finishing on top. So I hope you're going to make me some money. And the other thing is, are you a Tate fan?
You said BC
on
top. What's
that? Sorry?
Are you a Tate fan? Your quarterback, Tate?
No.
You're not?
No.
Why
is
that?
Who's kept, your quarterback? I wish they would have kept Glenn for another year or two.
I like Glenn for
simple.
Calgary.
You see that?
So what's the
plain
flavor
and simple,
in Calgary?
They should have kept Glenn.
I thought people in Calgary, the friends I know there, are Tate supporters.
No,
I mean,
they don't really like him.
Really?
Because there's some haters.
Well, he's injury prone, and that's basically about it. And you know, he's got an attitude, and which sometimes could be to your favor, but sometimes it cannot be, right?
Okay. Okay, good to know. Again,
but
love
I
the
just
name
wish
Storm.
They would have kept Glenn, and, but, you know, that's just the way life goes, I guess.
And then you guys would have lost in the West Final again.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, Manasse.
I
would have
got rid of
Tate
but. And just kept Glenn and Bo Levi Mitchell, so.
Wow.
So that's just my opinion, but, I mean, you know.
Okay.
And I'm pretty smart when it comes to the CFL, but sometimes I could be stupid, too, at the same time.
That's no doubt. No doubt.
For predictions and stuff like that, but whatever, you know, it's just, I just love the game, just plain and simple. Just love the game, and I just wanted to go right now, and let's go. Let's do it.
Well, Storm, it's good that you're spreading the Calgary Stampeder passion, okay?
Oh, yeah. I wear my colors. Yeah. I wear my colors every second day.
You guys are an endangered species.
No.
Haven't got beat up yet.
That's good. So your girlfriend's an Edmonton Eskimo fan?
That's the roommate, yeah. She's a
Oh, the roommate. Okay, all right.
She's
so,
an Edmonton Eskimo season
two. Is that a euphemism, or is she a roommate?
Roommate.
Okay. Just wondering. All right, now, John, let's let him
uh-huh.
say hello to everybody else. Manasseh
sure.
Gibber-Medin is from Minnesota, and he's one of those guys I told you. I'm not sure who he roots for anymore. He'll have to tell you himself.
Winnipeg.
I think it,
Winnipeg Blue
Winnipeg.
Bombers.
Okay, good. Okay. So yep. It's Winnipeg, but he speaks highly of Saskatchewan. This is Manasseh, Gibber-Medin.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just bugging you.
That's okay.
No, don't worry about it. Your team's going to miss the playoffs, so you don't have to worry about buying any playoff tickets. But, no, really, though, I mean, how long, what's your best experience as a Stamps fan? Because I seem to see, like, your city's really fair weather and all that. So, I don't know. I don't know what I'm asking you, man. Just... Stamp stuff, that's all I
got to
say.
Storm, Manasseh is trying to figure out what assumptions he has that are total crap, so he's asking you that question.
I hate the Stampeders with a passion. I can't help it, man. I'm sorry.
And on the other hand,
hey,
you know what?
Grateful.
You know what? Like Frank said, we have the best uniforms in the whole league.
Cheerleader uniforms.
Out of my yin yang because I
yeah,
love
yeah,
so
yeah.
Much.
Hey, listen, you and Bruce John Inch are brothers from a different mother. Bruce John Inch is in it. Do you have a basement full of uniforms and stuff? Is that where you keep your stuff?
Yeah, and Stampeder glasses and stuff.
Right on,
and
buddy.
Well, if we
right
want to pull our yin yangs out and talk about how many jerseys, go
oh,
back
here
to
we go.
In the windows
let's,
today.
Go
back
let's
to
let's
a coach
on, with where we're going here.
Cup.
Start muting some mics.
Yeah, right. Sure. Let's pull
maybe
out our yin yangs, fellas.
The only
let's
thing,
listen,
the only thing Storm
yang.
Doesn't have is
okay.
a big
okay,
horse.
Guys, John, I apologize, and Christopher's right, because I've given everybody else a chance to talk to him, and Christopher wants his chance to thank, I believe it's because he wants to thank Storm Schmidt for picking his team first in the Western Division.
Well, yeah, that wasn't easy to say.
Well, no, I mean, the guy's... I think he's just a smart man. I have no problems with that.
I wanted to pick my own team, but you know what? You know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
There you go.
You can't do what you can't do. I understand that. Evening, Storm. How you doing, buddy?
And this would and Storm. This would be Christopher Jones, not to be confused with Chris Jones, the coach of your girlfriend's team. This is Christopher Jones, referred to only
as roommate. We've established
roommate.
It's a roommate.
Roommate.
Roommate, right.
Roommate.
Your roommate,
okay,
I'm sorry.
That's and without privileges.
Oh, my God, you guys need another Ryan Coke or what?
No, we're sober.
We're sober.
Well, that sucks to
we're
be you.
I am, yeah, I can't vouch for Frank. Storm, so just welcome to the group, man. It's a great bunch of guys, and we love talking about it in different ways and different houses, and it go around and around in a circle and bark at each other all night, and it's a wonderful thing. We also do this on Facebook in a Facebook group.
He's
called
in the group.
Just the best football in the world. He's not. No, I went looking. He wasn't there.
Oh, he's not there? Oh, Storm, I thought that's where
so,
I met you.
I'm here.
I went looking. I couldn't find him.
It's Storm Schmidt. Well, Storm, yeah. What Christopher's referring to is this program and a group.
I sent him the link.
Oh, good. Okay. So we have a Storm, if you like talking football and if you really want to talk football, the one thing about the group is that it doesn't wait for the season to start. I'm impressed with the fact that not only are there a lot of people in the group, it's very active, and it's a non-favorite group. In other words, other than the BC Lions, no other teams are favored in that group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, get off of it. It's a rider group that
It's a rider group matched as a national group.
You want to get me in the CFL, though, Frank?
Oh, yeah. It's all CFL.
That's your real name. You want to get me in the CFL? It's like you can't go to the game. You can't go to a game and pay your money, like $70 for a frickin' ticket, and people frickin' boo you because you're wearing your colors. That's what irks me.
Yeah, but you got to expect that.
It happens in Calgary.
That's
it happens in every stadium. But still, some people take it too far, though.
Oh, sure they do. And if that's the subject you want to talk about right now, as your first day, you get to say that. So do you think, why do you think it's disrespectful to boo someone's jersey? And I'm assuming you're in the visiting team's stadium, or are you talking about in your home
stadium? Yeah, I'm talking in Commonwealth here.
Right. And you tell
I go to two games a year when Calgary comes here, right? So.
And you get
That's
booed.
The only games I watch.
And you
live.
Get booed.
And I get what?
Here, let me give you an example of how it works. I'll give you an example of how it works. And this is what I call Frank's CFL Reaction 101. I got to bring up Bruce's mic to make this work. Bruce, give me your favorite phrase.
You have to start with Argos.
Yeah, I'm an Argo fan. Argos.
Does everything revolve around Toronto in this Canada?
No. Trust me, it doesn't. So
just with John and Frank.
Just with John and Frank, exactly. So usually
okay,
Bruce
I'm talking
says
about
me
the Maple Leafs. Okay, never mind.
usually Bruce is a little more vociferous, and he says Argos suck, and he knows what I'm going to say. That's why he does. That's why he didn't say it, because then I say yeah, and we sucked from the Cup in 2012. When was the last time you did? You know, as a Calgary guy.
Yeah, but that was a gift to you Toronto guys.
Oh, stop. See, you don't have to educate this guy.
But you know what?
You don't have to
fan,
educate him that quickly.
Like
let's spoon-feed him a little bit. Let's spoon-feed him a little. Let's let him know about the... Hmm?
Hey, Storm talking here. Being a fan, you know what? And me and Noella, the roommate, the Eskimos fan, we cheer for one team
roommate.
And one team only. And that's it. There is no second best.
Oh,
she
but anyway,
hates
what
Calgary
I
agree, and I hate Edmonton. So
and cool, that's fine.
Sweet.
But the point I was trying to make with you is that just because they boo at you, wear your colors and with pride, and
oh,
throw
I do,
back
I
at
do.
Them.
I just don't want to be getting hit in the head with a beer unless it's not open.
You don't want to get
if
hit
you can
by
catch it, great.
That's $8 a beer. I'll take it.
There you go. Just you know, and you know what they say about Canadians? They never spill a drop. We have that reputation, you know.
Could be worse in America. It could be 3% alcohol.
Yeah, it could be 3% alcohol in the U.S. We used to
that
have 7.
That's already been through the horse.
There you go. All right, so Manasseh...
About these talks, you think we're going to have a season or what?
Yeah. You will hear a lot of talk about that. We'll get into that in a little bit. Right now, I just wanted you to meet everybody. And Manasseh, you had a chance to say hello to him, right?
No problem.
Right, Manasseh? Or did I bleep? Okay.
He did.
Then okay, Rob J. Emery, you want to say hello to our new partner here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rob J. Emery's from Ottawa. He's an Ottawa Red Black fan who used to be a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan.
See, I don't mind.
I'm supposed to tell you Debbie's in the queue, Frank.
Oh, is she?
That's what Mike just told me.
Why don't I see it on my Facebook?
You don't have Saturday
Tell me, while
we
have you on the line and you bring
now,
up the labor issues, which side are you on?
Spike Sutherland is here, too.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
yes.
Please.
Who's that?
Now, how many chances do they have to give Ottawa?
For what?
Oh. Okay, man, look, stop being a hater.
Well,
that
irks
the day.
Me because there's other cities out there that could use a team, too, right?
Okay, name one.
Name one?
Please.
Name one that's got an ownership group that's putting money on the table.
Well, I don't know that part though, so I'm not.
That's
I'm
the problem.
West, so
that's
you know.
The problem.
Right.
Ottawa's it.
You know, how many chances?
That was a good call bringing Ottawa.
I have nothing against Ottawa. I'm just saying, like, how many chances do you have to give a team?
As many as they're willing to take and pay for.
Just like the Americans when they came here in 1994 with Las Vegas Posse and.
Did you like that? Was that a good experience for you as a Calgary fan?
That pissed me off.
There you go. But Ottawa's
well,
in Canada.
What really pissed me off though was
because
Calgary losing the cup to the Americans.
They didn't put the presidents behind. What's the word I'm looking for? They didn't put the planning behind it to see if this team's going to work. Like, I seen my cousin playing in. He's a Saskatchewan fan. Saskatchewan was playing in Las Vegas. They had 1,800 fans, and I seen them on TV because there was nobody else. I could see them. They had more Saskatchewan fans down in Las Vegas than they had in Las Vegas had in Las Vegas.
Well, for your information,
you know
the reason they did that is they needed the money, and they charged all the teams franchise fees, and that's how the CFL was able to get out of the hole.
It was short-term good, long-term bad.
Get rid of the commissioner or do something. Like, it's just, it's Bullschmidt.
Bullschmidt.
You know, it is.
Bullschmidt. Yeah, that's a new... Yeah.
That's
welcome to the
one.
Show,
well,
folks. Our new guest
is Bullschmidt.
That's
the way of saying something where you don't have to swear, right?
Yeah, good for you. Thank you. I appreciate your consideration. I wish other people would do the same.
That's my last name. I could say it, right?
There you go.
Did
all
you
right,
find Debbie? Mike?
I'm not sure if I found her. Debbie, are you there? Your mic should be up.
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yeah,
there
I hear
you.
Hey,
hello,
Debbie.
Hello, everyone.
So now Nella has to come in because now we got Debbie in here, Wurmspecker.
Noella,
thank you.
I get it straight.
I hear you.
And by the way, Debbie is a Saskatchewan fan. And I want to mention...
Don't hold that against her, though.
Oh, God.
Not at all.
You know what? I don't like Scotch. I hate... I don't know what to say. I just don't
show
like
me, show me,
show
me, tell
us
what you don't. How about that?
Sometimes
it seems like you hate everything and everybody.
I don't like those damn gophers, I tell you. No, I don't.
Sorry, Debbie.
Yeah,
I actually spelled Christopher Jones' name, Christopher, Krista Gopher.
Krista Gopher.
I am going to hurt you real bad.
You win.
Am I muted?
But you know what?
No,
that's
nobody,
what I love
listen,
about the
CFL. It's open
Calgary
season
won it back
the
in,
mic.
What was it, 1998? Or
am I muted?
When they were 8-10, and then BC won it when they were 8-10. That's the CFL for you. That's just what happens.
God, dude, you're making me hate the Stamps even more. Fuck, man. I'm sorry, man.
What? Say it, your tongue. Watch
this
it, please.
This guy just calls in and just, he looks like he has a laundry list of things he hates.
Hey, guys.
Manasseh, that's because, oh, go ahead, Bruce.
I gotta run, but I just wanted
bye,
to say
Bruce.
Goodnight to everybody. And
hey, Bruce.
Just remind everybody that number one team is the Hamilton Ticats. I gotta
there
give them
go.
A shout
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night on Jeopardy, which is on at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, Peter Diakowski, which is offensive lineman for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, will be on Jeopardy tomorrow night.
Yep. Otherwise, he's
put on the 9-game injury reserve.
Yeah, he's put on the 9-game injury reserve today. Yeah.
He's got to make a living somewhere. Good luck on Jeopardy.
Oh, he's still rehabbing from
that
injury
Chris,
that he got put out.
Chris,
so.
Congratulate him and Bruce. Congratulations on the pickup of Laurent. You BT Bill.
Wasn't
Laurent.
That
yeah.
a good move? Hey, man,
good
we're going to have
score.
A killer
Bruce.
Team this year. That's all I got
to
say.
Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to the Grey Cup.
You watch out, man. You watch out.
Play BC for it.
Thank
okay,
you, Bruce.
Guys. You guys have a
and
good
thank
night.
You for
we'll
the,
talk
thank
to you Wednesday.
See you, Bruce.
Thank you for
you
waiting.
Bye.
Take
care,
guys.
Bruce.
Good night.
That's Bruce John Inch refers to himself, and I think he's earned the title as the Hamilton Tiger Cats 13th man. And he leaves us with the thought of Laurent. And is that the biggest move so far in the past little while? You know,
absolutely.
Let's say the last couple of weeks at least anyway.
Not compared to Brandon Isaac.
Gatchman's the 13th man.
Not compared to Brandon. That's a good one, Kelly. That's nice.
Well, it is. I mean, he's more of a household name than Ted Laurent. Come on.
Ted Laurent, all-star. He's a 26-year-old Canadian top-notch defensive tackle.
I'm not saying that. I just thought the question was who made the bigger splash.
Laurent, in my mind. Still Laurent, in my mind. I love him. He could play for my team anytime.
Anybody that's been listening to me knows that I've been hoping that the Riders would sign him, and I picked him as a guy from the start that would hold out because he's owed a tidy raise this year.
No, I would have taken Ted Laurent over Isaac any day.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it's all about
that. That was a good scoop by the Tigers.
Yes.
Yes,
Debbie wants to say something, guys. Take a step back. Debbie?
Can you unmute Mike?
Yeah. You want me to mute your mic? You want me to mute your
mic? Mike Townsend, have you got his mic muted?
No. No, he's up.
Muted?
I got nobody. It's open mic right now. And I wanted to mention before you guys... All the mics are open, guys. I promise you that. There's no and I know Mike's number, so I know which mic is his. Here, let me turn it off and then turn it on. Here. Off, and now on, Mike.
Welcome.
Townie, you there?
Mike? I think Townie's internet service that...
Or his mic is muted.
Yeah, or his...
There
his
you
mic
are.
Is,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you,
yeah,
made, you muted
back.
Your own
there
mic,
go
but...
Back. Oh,
it,
right.
I don't know what it was. It wasn't my phone. I don't know what it was. When
well,
you unmuted
anyway,
it,
and
then
I
took it off, it came back.
Yeah, I
yeah,
muted
that's
you.
Awesome.
And I
Frank,
hey,
look,
okay, Mike,
I wanted to respond to Kelly.
Well, turn on me.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to Kelly. Kelly said, I'm going to get you next. Kelly said that the guy was, he thought the guy was going to hold out because he wanted a pay raise. Well, he's not the only one that's holding out.
No doubt. What is that supposed to mean?
Not alone. Yeah, there's a few players
sounds
like that.
The whole bloody league is holding out. What do you think about
right.
the salary cap?
Right. Right. And what's
hello.
The name? Storm A, man. Nice to meet you, bro, because I never got
on.
A chance to say hi to you, man.
Yeah, Mike's saying hello. And I heard your question. And what we think about the salary cap, you have to keep listening to the show because we just did one of those for 3 hours last week.
Yeah,
right.
So we don't have
enough
time.
It's too late in the show to start the salary cap conversation. We only got about 30 minutes left, and an hour of overtime if necessary.
It's going to be
necessary.
Hours.
To the NFL and look at the CFL. So there you go.
Right.
Well,
hey, Frank, I wanted to ask Manasseh a question because he sent me a link earlier.
Okay.
Maybe you can give me more perspective on it. Manasseh, I got that link, man, about Kevin Smith being released from Winnipeg after a day of training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you got any more news on that, on why he got released?
Yeah, it's. I think he pulled a hamstring, and then they said he had an issue with his knees. I think they had a medical issue where they didn't think his knees would hold up for a whole season, so they decided to move on.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people were jumping to conclusions and saying it was an attitude thing, but I heard the same thing that Manasseh just mentioned, that, it was due to injury that he was released.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
A shame.
Yeah,
I thought he was
going to
be the starter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. That guy, man, he took a beating, man, when he played for Detroit, man. I mean, he was – when we didn't have
terrible.
No running game, they signed Kevin Smith, man, and that guy mm-hmm. that guy was the workload, man. He was a horse.
Yeah.
I heard it was a hamstring pull, but that's what I heard up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he pulled his hammy,
pretty severe, too, to boot, so –
yeah.
Well, you don't have room for a new acquisition to be on the nine game. You know what I mean?
Well, who does?
Right. A friend of mine's son, and y'all probably know him. Well, if you watch college football, man, you probably heard of the name. He played for University of Alabama, Marquise Mays. He wore number one, I think. He just got released from Montreal after a day one training camp, man. Friend of mine is his father, so I know a lot about Marquise, man, and he let me know he got released from Montreal.
Okay, now what I'd like to do, guys, is I'd like to take another break and remind people what they're doing right here. They're listening to Candid Frank Live, and of course, this is the CFL is the greatest football in the world, show 177. And, of course, we're here on Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you that are unaware, if your name is – if you're here, including Storm Schmidt, you can go to Google if you want to know Storm. If you want to listen to this show, just go on Google, Blog Talk Radio, and then type in Storm Schmidt, and this program will come up for you so that you'll be able to listen to your own sultry voice. And we heard Nella in the background. So, Nella, you didn't get away with it. You were on the air. We have your voice recorded here. And you're not getting away with not saying anything because you did. Now, the reason I stopped is because we're going to move on to another subject. And this subject is the toughest part. We only have about 28 minutes left. So this is going to have to be short, I guess. We might go a little over. I don't really want to, but that's beside the point. Manasseh always says, let's go over. So my conversation now I'd like to have with you guys, and the conversation I'd like to have, is led by this guy's interview. His name's Darian Durant.
Once we stepped out here today, it was over. This is official. No doubt about it. It's over. Once we stepped out here today, it was over. This is officially the 2014 season. What happened last year means nothing. Every team started today with the goal of being the champions this year. So it's over. We have to keep it going, and I think everyone has that mindset. It's about getting those championship rings. I think that's what goes down in history. You know, that's what you play the game for, to win and get rings. And, you know, that's what myself and Getzlaff and Neil Hughes, guys who've been here, we talk about winning championships and becoming legends. So we're on our way. It's going to take a lot of work, but you know, we're up to the challenge. Well, I wouldn't say pressure. I would just say it's just an opportunity. You know, whenever you win, guys are going to get the opportunity to get, you know, promotions or better opportunities. And it just allows me to bring another guy along, and it allows those guys to come in and make a name for themselves. So it's an opportunity. I think our staff has done a great job of bringing in guys who can come in and compete right away. And we have some talent out there. It's just about us gelling. It comes with experience, learning the league, learning the ins and outs, being with different offensive coordinators over the years, and you know, learning different systems. It makes it easier. And you know, being with a guy like Coach Cortez, who knows his offense, it helps me out tremendously. So at this stage, you know, I feel like, you know, my best years are ahead of me, and I look forward to making that happen. It's just about leadership, man. I think those guys, you know, their value to our team, you know, you can't put a measure on it. You know, they're just a tremendous part of the locker room. They're great people. It's going to be sad to see them go. But, you know, eventually it's going to be all of our day to hang up the cleats. So, you know, what better way to go out than on top like those guys did? And, you know, it's a storybook ending for them. It's a different vibe. It's a good vibe, though. It's very youthful, energetic, and I like that. But at the same time, we still have our good mix of veterans out there who can bring the young guys along, show them our way of doing things. And our older guys, you know, we're older, but we're still energetic, too. And we try to pass that down to the youngins.
We like to try to pass that down to the youngins. Nobody with a southern accent. Calgary is here in the room. Calgary has explained how little they like Saskatchewan and how, you know, for Storm, Saskatchewan is the team that gets Calgary fans going. And, of course, that has a lot to do with the fact that the evil triumvirate, otherwise known as Calgary, Saskatchewan, and BC, that have been in power out there in the West Coast for the past few years, while Winnipeg was here in the East and Edmonton was at the bottom of the list in the South of, I guess, no, wait a minute, Edmonton's north of Calgary. But anyway, the point is that Saskatchewan is now they've stopped thinking about the Grey Cup last year. Now it's a whole new season. And I want to ask you all, and I'll open the mics completely, and I'll trust the fact that, you know, that you'll all get a chance to say your piece. So I'll start with Storm, our new guest. Storm, what are the odds in your mind, even though you dislike Saskatchewan so much, what are the odds in your mind of Saskatchewan repeating 50-50? You believe they will? You believe they won't?
I'd say 50-50.
And that would be because?
Just because it's a CFL, and, you know, you don't know what happens, right? And anything can happen, right?
There are only 9 teams.
Calgary went 8-10, BC went 8-10 on the Grey Cup. So, you know,
there you go.
you know, anything can happen. But I hope they go 0-16.
That goes without saying. I've gotten the drift of where you're at. Kelly, your team.
Sorry, that's the NFL. 0-18.
Kelly, your team
I
is defending. Don't worry about it. Stand
ball.
In line. Everybody does it here all the time. Kelly, your team is the defending champion, and Darian Durant made it very clear that the slate is clean now. Now it's all about this year. Not last year, just doesn't matter anymore. But he made it clear that he wants to win again because he believes that you know, greatness is in their future if they want it. And this is an opportunity for you, the Saskatchewan fans, to maybe enjoy a run here, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just want to address the background music for a second quickly here, if whoever could turn that down.
It's done.
And, it's just basically great to hear Darian say those things. I mean, that's what you want out of your leader. You want somebody who's humble yet confident. And, you know, he's right. I like to insist as a fan that, you know, the championship's ours till somebody wins it, right? But he's right. It's over now, and, you know, it's time to get on the field and prove you can do it again because there's no other way to do it. And, you know, I agree with Storm. League's got a lot of parity. Anything can happen. Anything, of course, except Winnipeg or Edmonton or Ottawa winning the Grey Cup championship.
Ouch! So if you're a fan of one of those teams, you're not very happy. John, your opinion on Durant and Saskatchewan, you know, with the money that they spend outside of, like, when we saw those, like, anybody who's paying attention to the cap that Storm was talking about, they make a lot of money, but they're forced to spend it because they're non-profit. So, you know, they end up with a lot of extra coaches. And is that going to be an uphill battle for the rest of the teams to keep up with what Saskatchewan can spend outside of the cap?
I hate to break it to the Ryder fans, but it's not happening for them this year. Their best player left the team. It's just not the intensity of what a Grey Cup pressure having it at home brings you is not going to be there either. So all those are equation that is needed. BC has always, and the home team, if they have a decent quarterback and decent team from the previous year and are having the Grey Cup, they have a decent chance. Saskatchewan, enjoy it. It's not happening for you this year. I just don't feel – I'm a Riders fan. And, you know, we talk about not having a second favorite team. Riders have always been my second favorite team just because I envied the fanism, if you want to call it, that they had and the passion that they had in that small core group, and they sucked every year, but their fans were fantastic. So I envied that, and I like Saskatchewan, but I just don't see them doing anything this year coming up.
How about you? We'll go next to, Manasse.
Yeah, I got to respectfully disagree with John on that one. I used to think that the Riders were gonna drop off, but I looked at the guys they brought in. I know he brought up, you know, Corey Sheets, but they got two young backs, Jermaine Thomas and Curtis McNeil, two really talented guys that I think will be able to step in and fill the void. And at the end of the day, they have the best O-line in the league. They've arguably the best defensive line, and they've got a great coaching staff, so they're going to have a chance. And they should be right there in the West, one or either first or second. And if they can get that, we all know the Stamps are going to fold in the playoffs, like usually. And it's just BC. BC is the only team standing in their way, and I think they have enough what it take, you know, to knock them off. So we'll see.
How about you, Christopher Jones, BC Lion fan?
Yeah. Well, I think BC, Hamilton right now, or even money, they're the only teams that have got a 50-50 chance of being in the Grey Cup this year. Everybody else goes down after that. I do think Calgary's coming in second place. I do not believe the Riders will make third. I think Edmonton's going to step up their game enough that they're going to take the third playoff. Away from
Chris,
away from the Riders.
That goes down as a preposterous statement of the year.
I let you speak. And
that's not, but
true,
not even being real. That's just your hate for the team to put them out of the playoffs.
Already.
You look, you
think
it's seventh place out of five teams.
Manasse, he let you talk.
I'm not talking anymore.
Ah, come on, Christopher. Okay. All right. All right. Have your way. Mike Townsend.
Come on, Chris.
I'm being a brat.
All righty. I have a disagreement with John Grange as well. I feel like the Riders have a 50-50 chance of making it. I mean, like Manasse said, the guys that they lost, you would think that they were going to take a step down. But the guys that they brought in, man, is also, I'm not going to say better, but they're about the same as far as the receiver, the running back. They got two running backs, man, that can carry the load. And they'll be having Corey Sheets back, man, just as soon as he clear waivers when the NFL get cut. So they're going to get their players back, man. And the only thing stopping them right now is BC. And the only reason I put BC up front is because of their quarterback, Lule. Lule goes down, BC goes down.
Well, they're starting to
but
season
my
down.
Thing is, yeah,
and
my,
that's why
my
they got Kevin Glenn, right?
That's why they got Kevin Glenn. But I said it before, and I'm going to Montreal. That's all I got.
There you
say.
Go. We'll talk about that in a minute. Debbie, you're up.
I've missed a lot, but I've been trying to stay on top of things as much as possible.
Saskatchewan.
Morning,
it's okay. Saskatchewan this year is...
I agree with Manasse. I hate to admit, as much as I believe Green, that I agree that we have a 50-50 chance. On the other side of that, listening to the training camp videos and watching them, Durant's humbleness and last year's in the past, he's working towards this year. We lost a lot of good players. There's good changes coming up. It's going to be interesting.
On the discussion of Saskatchewan, I'll pick up right behind Debbie, and then we're going to find out who this other person that's in the... Well, you know what? Let's give them a person. I'm sorry. I don't know who you are because all that I have are 9-1s, so I don't know who you are. Who else is in the group right now?
I'm here. I've been here all night.
Rob Camry.
I've been here all night.
Talk about Robbie.
Well, Robbie, stand up for goodness sake.
Yeah, well,
I'm
trying to, but
something.
I'm only 5'1".
No, but it's not just you, Robbie. There's someone else. There's someone else in the room. Is there anybody else that hasn't had a chance to speak? I've got 10 of us in the group. But I guess Debbie's the one, which you're calling using Skype, right, Deb?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So what I've got here is I've got Christopher on twice. I've got him here twice. That's why the confusion. Okay, so go ahead. I'm sorry I left you out there, Rob J. RJE.
Yeah, I know.
Your opinion on Saskatchewan, and are they able? Will they be able to repeat? Does Darren Durant have it to do?
Well, I was talking to one of my friends who lives out in Saskatchewan, and she's a big Rough Rider fan, and we were talking, and I said it's going to be really disappointing for Saskatchewan because G. Roy Simon retired. And she was like, yeah, well, I think that's kind of lame. I'm like, why lame? And, you know, so I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble with
It's winning. All good. Okay, my turn.
Yeah,
my turn. We're down to the last. Hey, it's not just Rob. It's not just you. They're all going on mute. Everybody's been on mute, so don't take it personal. Now I've got everybody on mute. So now, what I'd like to do with the last 15 minutes here, I've got another interview, and this one's with Burris Sholagun, and of course the Red Blacks. And we'll go around the horn about as far as we've discussed the defending champs and their opportunity to repeat. We can now talk about what do you think of Burris and the Red Blacks as far as will they make the playoffs, and are the Toronto Argonauts that weak that they'll let Ottawa pass them? We know that Hamilton's pretty strong. I believe that Montreal's very strong. But I just don't think that Ottawa is going to be able to pass Toronto. But everybody's got an opinion, and we're going to share it after this little bit of an interview.
It was good enthusiasm. People were working hard. The key now is that we carry that over to the coming days. Everybody's really excited. I think people feel a real responsibility to the whole area, the Ottawa area, Gatineau, the whole thing, to try and do this thing right. We know a lot of hard work's been put into building this team the right way, and we want to put on the best show we can put on. Yeah, there was definitely a plan that we get enough veterans, Henry, but also some other core group of guys, coaches and players that have been through the battles enough in the CFL to kind of understand how things work. And I think we have a big enough core group to hopefully lead us through that.
You know what? We're not thinking that we're an expansion team anymore. We're just the Ottawa Redblacks, and that's the big thing that we're thinking about. It doesn't, regardless of where we were last year or what we happened in the off season. This is a brand new season, a brand new year, and we're not an expansion team. We're just the Ottawa Redblacks. You know what? Other than you don't know all the faces, it's exactly the same. Everybody's out there trying to knock the rust off and figure out what the heck they're supposed to be doing. We started with a little no huddle, and it was just kind of like, oh, first time with the pads on, you had to get your feet under you. But it's pretty much the same regardless of where you are, and it's all good out there.
Probably the most difficult thing today was just getting to know the new players and getting a feel for the new offense with the new personnel and working hard to get on the same page. And especially for a quarterback, you try to overthink things sometimes and you wait a second longer and just different things like that. But you can see as the practice went along, you know, things got a lot more smoother for offense and for defense. And that's the progression that we want to see as we work through camp this year. Oh yeah, it's kind of hard to say a favorite. I mean, there's some talented guys out there. I mean, Marcel and Travis Moore, Mike Gibson and the guys, they did a great job bringing in some highly skilled guys, a lot of great speed. And there's some guys we have experience too that I've played with, from Dobson Collins, John De La Hunt, who's a local guy. Of course, I was with those guys in Hamilton last year. But you look at guys like, Kier Johnson, Wallace Miles, Paris Jackson, Matt Carter. I mean, there's a number of guys that show a lot of potential that can do some great things in this league, that have done some great things in this league. But there's some young guys also that are going to battle and push those guys for their positions, because it's up in the air. Whoever's the best players are going to play. And I'm glad coaching them made that clear. And it's all about us getting better and improving each and every practice. And that's why I'm ready to get back out here and practice again, just so we can work hard to get better.
That sounded like the Hamilton Tiger Cat principle on who plays quarterback. The best guy gets to play, and the other guy gets to leave town. Other than that, I'm going to start on the other end of the list this time. And I'll start by talking to Christopher. And all the mics are off, so Christopher, you'll be able to speak unimpeded. Are you there, Chris? Okay, maybe you're the other one that's the same number. Christopher, are you there?
There. That's me better.
Okay. You have two numbers here. You're ghosting yourself. But anyway.
I don't know why I'm ghosting myself. I've only got in once here, so.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
Anyhow, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Ottawa Redblacks, they're a tough one to play with right now. And the chemistry is the one thing that their talent pool is there. Their chemistry is the one that's going to hurt them. And that's the same thing that I said with the Riders. Yeah, they've brought in a bunch of new players to replace all the wonderful guys that left after the Grey Cup, but they're still not a community yet. And that's going to take them a while to gel. Ottawa's, if they can pull that together and pull the locker room together, they're going to be a force this year, at least in the bottom side of the East. And Toronto is in the same kind of situation where they lost a chunk of people, and they're bringing in, people that are not part of the team. And I don't know, that's just part of the CFL and the way that it always has played out, is how long it takes you to bring your team together and gel as a unit is to how well you're going to do in the season, because the first part is just as important as the last part.
Absolutely. Mike, your opinion?
Excuse me. I feel the same way. Ottawa is kind of tough. I mean, you know, on paper, they got all the talent in the world. And, you know, I do agree with some of what Chris says. You know, they're not a community yet. They have to gel. I mean, it's going to be a lot of mistakes. They're going to be off key, no rhythm between the quarterback and the wide receivers. But it's just going to take time. But I don't see Ottawa
being the team that everybody thinks they're just going to go in and run over and get their wins. It's not even going to be like that. I mean, you got Burris as a quarterback. You got quality receivers, Paris Jackson. You got Javon Johnson on defense. Walker as one of the running backs. I mean, they have a core of good players that has CFL experience that can get it done. They just got to gel. That's all that is. They just got to get the chemistry and everything working together, and they'll be fine, man. They'll be fine.
Yeah, the intangibles. So they haven't had a chance to figure out how they'll deal with either the lack or the promise of intangibles. Guess what?
Right. And
oop, sorry, buddy. Sorry, buddy.
No,
I was
trying to say, no problem. It was just 5 seconds. And as soon as a lot of cuts and more free agents come in, the whole roster is going to be vamped. So they got a lot to jail. They got a lot to do.
If nothing else, the CFL is always in exchange mode.
There you go.
Rob, your mic's up.
Hey, I'm not just going to start cheering for a team in my city. Because
why not?
The team hasn't proven anything yet.
Okay,
you know, all my friends, everyone's like, are you going to be a Red Blacks fan? I'm like, no, obviously not. They haven't shown me anything yet. All they've shown me is, you know, like Mike was saying, you know, on paper they're great. But they haven't shown anything yet. Until they can prove that they're going to be a decent team, they're going to start winning, they're going to start playing, then I might be like, yeah, okay, let me see about this. Let's be a Red Blacks fan, you know? But
Totally understandable.
I'm not just going to jump boat and say, yeah, I'm a Red Blacks fan. Let's go Red Blacks.
Well, you're in Ottawa. You're in Ottawa.
Yes.
And you're speaking like probably a lot of other people are speaking. Not everybody's jumping on the bandwagon right away.
No. And,
right?
You know, I'm stumbling here. I'm a Ticat fan, but I'm also a Stamps fan.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because they have to be careful with the kicker they just picked up from the CFL draft, Tyler Crepinia, who was a former Ottawa Sooner when I was the equipment manager for them, and me and Tyler got along pretty good. So they have to watch out for that kid because he can surely boot the ball, I tell you that much.
Well, Calgary, unlike many teams, have two kickers. So, you know, he would make third. How about you, Manasseh?
Yeah, could you bring Chris up on too? Is he still here?
Well, he doesn't want you berating him anymore, and I don't blame him.
No, it's not berating him. It's all good. Now, first off, I'm sorry for cutting you off on that, but I gotta ask him, right? What did you see from Edmonton that makes you think number one they're a playoff team, and number two they're gonna finish ahead of Saskatchewan?
Now, he gave his opinion, and
he didn't say anything. He stopped after that, and he just moved on.
That's right,
that was the
and I'm
going
to respect the fact that he wanted to move on. And to be honest, you know, it's not a question of who's right or wrong; it's a question of what's your opinion. So, on the Red Blacks situation, are they a team that could make the playoffs this year? And if it's because the Argos suck this year, I'm more than willing to hear it. I don't believe it, but there it is.
No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Debbie's back. Okay. And what about Burris? Is he, you know, for real?
Yeah,
he's legit. I mean, we just don't know how good his offensive line is or how good his receivers are. We know he's got a running back, but outside of that, we have no idea.
Okay. Debbie, how do you feel about the Red Blacks? Do you feel that they're a threat in the East at all for a playoff spot? Debbie? Okay, we'll move on to the next one. John, how about you?
What? Do I think
Red
the Argos are going to do well?
No, the Red Blacks playoffs.
come on. They're just going to be part of history where every expansion team that comes in doesn't make the playoffs. They're not going to make it. So, whatever. I mean, you know, I hate to burst the bubble, but I wish them well. I mean, you know, I hope they win every game besides against the Argos. They won't have a chance anyway. I'm hoping that their fans get some home wins. Let's put it that way. I hope at least I wish them 4 to 5 home wins at home.
Not the kind of success that Winnipeg had last year. Right? Isn't that what you're saying? New stadium.
No, exactly.
They lost all but one game.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. But you know what? Winnipeg had a different scenario. You know, these guys the year before, and I mean, it seemed like every year they started off their first 8 games on the road. Okay, and talk about trying to build chemistry. You know, that's cool for 3 straight games, but 8 straight games on the road, it's never going to work, and it just shows it never does work. So I don't think Ottawa's going to have to go through that. Then again, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, Frank. I just know they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, that's good news for us, John, because that means you think we'll make the playoffs. So I can't argue that point at all.
We're going to start off slow. I think the Argos are going to take at least to the 5th or 6th game to kind of get it going where they feel like they got a unit. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but, again, I'm just being realistic on history and changing your
John,
defense.
John, don't be shy, man. This is going to be a repeat of 2012.
Yeah, okay.
All over again.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't be crying if it was BC and Toronto. I mean, that would be a nice Brayley Grey Cup.
Yeah, the Brayley Bowl.
Brayley Cup. There's no bowl.
Yeah, but a Brayley Cup, and it would probably lead to the Brayley Brawl, you know, with all the other CFL teams crying foul. But having said that, how about you, Storm? Do you think Ottawa's for real as far as making the playoffs concerned? Will they be very competitive?
I really believe that they're going to finish in first place.
Is that what you think?
Absolutely, diddly dolly.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what? That's my prediction, and stick to it.
Hamilton's really going to love that. How about you, Mr. Bale?
You know
we got only a few seconds left.
I've loved Burris from the Calgary Times, right? So you know what? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. It's going to come down to Toronto and Ottawa for first and second, I think.
Okay, let me mention, we
Frank
only have
said
six,
many,
hang on, we've only got 60 seconds left. Let me just put this in here. We've only got 60 seconds left. You're listening to Candid Frank Live. This is the CFL is the best football in the world. And we're going to go a little bit over to give people a chance to give their opinion. We're at the end here, but still we'll get a few more minutes in. For those of you that are listening live, you're going to cut out. What we ask is that you hang in there, and if it has to wait till tomorrow, you'll be able to hear the rest of the show on the repeat rewind. Thank you for tuning in thus far live. And Kelly, your opinion as far as the Red Blacks are concerned.
Yeah, I've said all along that if I'm Ottawa and Desjardins and, you know, even coming down to the ownership group, I'm happy if I build excitement in the city and if my city reciprocates and comes out to games and gets excited. And that's
great.
My measure of success in year one. I'm not going in there trying to, you know, shock the world or anything.
But you
want to
be competitive, right, Kelly? I don't mean to interrupt you, but you want to be competitive, right?
No, not me. Not in year one. There are more important things, and it's been shown over and over again, than succeeding on the football field, and that's building an atmosphere. And granted, that takes a certain level of excitement and success. But, you know, I think 6 wins could get them that level. And, you know, that isn't a great deal of wins. So that's why I'm sticking by my point that, you know, their main concern right now is just, you know, building that brand. And
making it a good experience going to the game.
Exactly. Yep.
Not fair enough. Now, we're in overtime. Is there anything that happened this week that anybody wants to talk about? I got to turn on everybody's mic to get the answer.
Yeah, McMahon Stadium having a new stadium.
Who?
What was that? McMahon What's
stadium.
That news? What's that news?
What's that news? Well, we're way overdue.
Oh, that's a war, hey, Frank. Debbie. Hey, Debbie had a comment on to your question. She, by the time she talked, you muted her.
I didn't mute her. Her mic is wide
open.
Couldn't
get in.
Hang on.
Oh, okay.
I'll do what I did to you. I'll do what I did to you, and I'll do it to her, too. I'll mute her, and then
she's there, Frank. She's Frank right now.
Okay.
Okay, the Red Black situation. First of all, I'm still trying to get used to the name. Second of all, Henry. Y'all know how I feel about that, right?
Yep.
Henry.
Third of all, I think they might be a surprise to us. You never know. CFL is about surprises. I would never put my money down on any CFL game ever.
In other words, you wouldn't bet against anybody. In other words, you wouldn't bet against anybody. Which to me makes sense.
Not even the Riders, and y'all know how I feel about them.
Yeah.
Our game is a game of seconds. It's a game of plays, down to the last play. I think they might surprise us this year. You never know.
Well, thanks, Deb. And it's good to hear from you. Did you like your picture I put up?
I love that picture.
I know you do. I don't know you do, but I guess you did.
And I missed you guys. I'm sorry. My life got in the way. I'm trying to sort stuff out. And
carry on. The nice thing
we
about
missed
this,
you too, Debbie.
The nice thing about this group, Debbie, is that it's big enough that if somebody gets busy because of whatever reason, the thing doesn't fall flat on its face. All we need is John and Christopher, and we're good.
No, we need
well,
you.
Manasseh's a big part.
Yeah, Manasseh's a big part, too.
I
did you say fart?
I didn't call him a fart.
No, I said I was a big part.
I thank you, Frank. Without you, we wouldn't have this. So.
Oh, yes, you would. It would show up some other way.
And I thank you for bearing with me.
Oh, hey, all the time. No worries. Hey, I'm here for one reason and one reason alone. You weren't here for the conversation we had last time. Everybody's asking, you know, everybody's thinking to themselves, what does this mean? Where do we go? What happens next? Is this something that's going to be that other people will want us to, you know, to share with them, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the way I look at it, it's always practice. So this is practice for when the moment comes that we all get the opportunity, whether it be together or individually. I know there's people in this group that could do this stuff on their own. They don't need me and they don't need anybody else, and they could do it really well. The only difficulty that they have and that anybody will have trying to do this is trying to keep people together to have this conversation and make it, you know, the biggest challenge I have is keeping it interesting three times a week. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and bullshit anybody into thinking that it's that easy.
Frank, watch your tongue, will you, please? This is a family show.
Did
yeah,
you say
no
bull
kidding.
Bullshit or Bullschmidt?
It's
Bullschmidt.
Bullschmidt.
I said Bullschmidt.
That's a new word for Storm. It's not a new word for Frank.
I want that on the back of the Stampeders jersey that you're going to wear. Bullschmidt.
Bullschmidt.
Yeah, I'll say Bullschmidt to that, too.
The fact that I'll wear it
the
is
way
Bullschmidt.
I'm wearing a Stampeders jersey. I'll
wear a Stampeders cheerleader, but not a jersey.
Well, I'd like to see
I'll
you
wear,
in
I'll
a
wear any
cheerleader jersey.
Never mind.
That would be fun, Frank.
Yeah. You know what I would look like in a Stampeders jersey, right? Unwatchable.
You do. As long as you don't wear your G-string again.
Ugh. There we go.
Uh-oh.
That was a visual I did not need.
Okay, hello? Storm just got clicked off.
Hello?
Muted.
Hello?
Rob?
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Stand up
hello?
And you can talk.
Okay. Hello, Pistol.
The best Stampeders jersey this year will be, I don't know what number he's going to wear, but it's going to be Crepinia. Tyler Crepinia is going to be the kicker. He's going to be an amazing kicker, and Calgary fans are going to enjoy watching him play because he's an amazing kicker.
Calgary already has a pretty good kicker in Paradis.
Pretty good.
The best kicker in the league.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay. They need to change the rules. We need a Paradis
a long time.
There.
I'm just telling you guys, you got to watch out for Crepinia.
Well, where is he from? Karuba?
No, he's from Ottawa.
Okay, well, close enough.
I was the equipment manager for the Ottawa Sooners when he was the kicker here. So
I've heard that.
They're not getting rid of Paredes. So it's just not going to happen, bud.
No, I know, but you got another one.
It's not going to happen. I mean, look at his. Do you know what his percentage was last year in field goal kicks?
It wasn't a percentage.
No,
it just was automatic.
I think it was
9.95.
No. Anyways, he only missed like 4 field goals all year.
Yeah, he broke the record last year. But some would suggest that he got a break too.
But
yeah,
that's
it
the rules.
A break.
That's the rules.
Yeah, no, I know.
And I didn't even know. I didn't even know that, Bud. I did not know that. I've been cheering for the CFL since I was 4 years old. And I did not know that rule.
Yeah, it took me a long time to find it too.
Yeah.
I did
probably
not know.
Yourself,
I've been a fan
right?
for 42 years. I didn't know that.
And here's another
Amazing.
Thing. The only way I'm going to go watch a Montreal Alouettes game here in Ottawa is to see Chad Johnson. That's
right.
The only reason people are going to go, because people from here, Ottawa, are going to be like, oh, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco is coming into Ottawa, so they're all going to be like,
hey,
I want to go see
he's
him.
He's from the NFL, yeah.
Hey, Robbie, that's exactly what Jim Pop wants.
Yeah, well,
okay?
No
that's
kidding.
That's exactly what the CFL wants.
Yep.
That's exactly what the CFL needs.
Yep.
But
and
they're
going to
get
that's
no,
was,
no,
that's how it
no,
was when
Storm
Dexter
here,
Manley
he's
going to
be a flop. He's going to be a flop.
A lot of people are like, oh, I want to go watch.
It doesn't matter if he's a flop. It
yeah,
doesn't
that's,
matter.
That's
they're
going
to go to see him.
Yep.
They're
going
to go to see the Canadian lineman smoke his ass.
Yep.
We're going to go for all sorts
okay,
of
that's
reasons.
Not going to happen. All right, enough with all the pot shots there, Chad. At the end of the day, he's not expected to do much. He's the fourth receiver on their team. I mean, he just got to catch maybe 20 passes in a year, and that's it. That's all they
need. Exactly.
But that's why
that's
people
it.
Are going to go
that's
watch
it.
The games.
Yeah,
that's
but the point is,
that, as long as his attitude doesn't get ahead of his head, right? So.
Yeah, but you guys are missing the point. You're missing the point. When do people buy tickets to a game?
Because
like, even if he gets
game?
Injured in the fourth game, even if he gets injured in the fourth game, in about the 17th game, there's going to be people who have already bought tickets to watch him play, watch him visit their
oh,
team.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all about what it's all about selling tickets. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, but it was like when Dexter Manley was playing for Ottawa, and then
there
he went to like play in Toronto. Everyone in Toronto was like, I'm going to go see Dexter Manley play. He was the big old lineman or whatever for the Redskins, you know?
The offset, he was a defensive end.
The name that everyone wants.
Yeah.
The name that everyone wants.
He was a defensive end.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same thing as why do we watch NASCAR? Is it to watch cars go round and around and around and around and around in a circle? No, we want to watch for a crash. Why do we watch hockey? Because it's a great sport? No, we want to watch the fights. Why do we watch football? We want to see the hits. And trust me, people want to see Chad Johnson get smoked.
Yep.
I don't. Okay.
And,
I think people
want
to say that.
Check this out. I'm going to say something on this, and this goes back to John Granger when he said a lot of NFL guys come up to the States, and just hear me out, come up from the States to play in the CFL, like Ricky Williams. First of all, Ricky Williams broke his forearm. He was out 5-6 games. And if you ask a lot of them defensive backs that tried to tackle Ricky Williams bowled 90% of them over like a bowling pin. He was one of the hardest running backs in the CFL, and them guys were scared to hit Ricky Williams.
And unfortunately, my favorite team in the NFL is Miami Dolphins. So,
Right.
So that,
damn weight.
And you have to also remember the reason a lot of NFL guys struggle coming when they come to the CFL is it's your body type. You know, when you're in the NFL, you put emphasis on putting size and getting bigger. Where in
the CFL,
you have to slim down. And Chad, he's basically built for the CFL. He's a small guy that uses his speed and quickness, which is what you need in the CFL. So it should be a seamless transition for him. In fact,
well, you got
CFL
a bigger field, though, right?
Fits the game better.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
From the NFL, right?
That's, he's a deep threat catcher, and plus his style of play is acclimated for the CFL.
Right.
Just watch him. That's all you have to see. Just watch him.
But
so sometimes,
you know,
it's not going to be a hard transition.
Yeah, but some
it's not
going to
be a hard transition like everybody think it is.
Yes, but sometimes it's someone that's so quick and fast and mobility and all that kind of stuff, like one hit could just put you out because they're so prone.
That's the risk of the game, though. That's the risk
exactly,
of the game. That can happen to anybody.
That's why you guys. That's why those guys play the game. It's like that's their choice, right?
Yep.
But I think Pop's going to use him. Pop's going to use him like an ace in the hole, and just what that is that the threat of him catching a pass is going to create openings. It's been said in this room by various people. The threat of him catching the ball is going to make it easier for a lot of other players.
Yeah.
And you know what, Frank, and you're absolutely right, because first thing they're going to want to do is try to double-team Chad, and that's going to leave either SJ or De'Ron Carter wide open, because I look for De'Ron Carter to have a breakout year. I mean,
absolutely.
That receiving core that Montreal has, that
can we talk about
with
John
Chad
Carter?
Johnson, they are going to have
in a minute.
So much swag on their team. You're not going to be able to tell them guys nothing. It's going to be good swag. It's not going to be detrimental to their team. Them guys going to feel that they cannot be touched in the league. And that's
you know,
going to be good. That's what Chad is going to bring.
You know, Mike.
That team.
And I know Manasseh will back me up on this as well. I don't know if Christopher will. But Montreal is a team that needs to play with swag. They're a team that
of course,
through
yes,
the years.
Yes, they do.
They've been always a swagger team.
Yeah,
and if I could add too, I mean, he's already done what the team needed. I mean, they're paying him a $50,000 contract. He's getting the league minimum, right? No incentives, mm-hmm. nothing. It's a standard contract. Within a day of him getting signed, they sold 2,000 season tickets. So mission accomplished, as far as I can tell.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
the owners that make the league, not the players.
Well, exactly.
Right.
But some of the owners shouldn't be there, though, period.
All right, guys, I'm going to bed. I got to get up and go to work early in the morning.
Good night, RJ.
So you guys all have fun.
I need to throw this out there, guys, because it just came up on the CFL is breaking news, according to a doc submitted by the TSN by players who prefer to remain anonymous. The CFLPA has prepared a new four-year offer to restart the talks, with the new cap starting in 2014 of 5.2, 2015
yes.
5.6,
yeah.
2016 2.8, and $6 million in 2.7 in 2017.
That aligns better with the CFL.
The protection
thinking.
Clause now triggers at $18 million. It's the identical offer that the league has put forward with a little bit, but instead of $27 million on the trigger clause,
18.
It's $18 million.
Up from
so
12.
This might be a deal.
Up
you know,
from
you know why that is though. I don't know if you guys like pay attention to like the sports shows in Canada. Like there was on the Rider News, they had a former player on there, Luke Mullender, and he talked about how 60% of the players don't want to strike at all, especially
right.
the Americans. Yeah. None of the Americans want
to
strike.
They
basically said it's pretty much yes, yeah, mostly just the Canadians that want to, and I think because
they're the long term guys.
Right, and I think the PA knows that, and now that's
that
why they're starting
Canadian.
To cave in, because they realize these guys are not going to hold together in a strike. They're going to fold quick, because the Americans are going to jump the line immediately. And then once the lower-paid guys realize we're not really going to benefit that much anyway, it's just going to leave the higher-priced guys and the high-priced Canadians that are going to be left. So
right.
they know they're done, so they're just they're starting now. That's
and that's what why Burris said what he did. You know, he basically said, I'm getting paid. I'm a senior guy here.
Yeah, Burris was just saying that because he's getting $450,000 and he's only going to play.
He doesn't
want to
take any time off.
So he was, exactly. He didn't want them messing with his money. That's the only reason.
Was he playing for the game or for the money?
Both.
Of course, for the money, man. Where have you been the last 30 years?
It's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain, except for most of these players are never around for the long term. So why should they sacrifice in the short term? It doesn't make sense to anybody to go on strike.
Yeah. Who's going to sacrifice for them?
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
Nobody.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I need to log out because I'm almost out of Skype credit. And I just want to say it was great to hear all y'all voices again.
Mm-hmm.
Manasi, you got a great voice, and it was great to meet
you
guys.
Thank you, appreciate it. Bye, Sunshine.
Good night.
Debbie, you don't have to pay to be on the show. Just click click the button, the Skype button on the show app. You're allowed to come in here for free. You just got to sign up with Blog Talk Radio, let them know who you are, and then you can be on here as long as you want. Manasi does that all the time.
I did do that, but I have my own credits, and that's what it's using.
No, you shouldn't have to use credits, right, Manasi?
Yeah, you just click the link on the top of the right corner, and you just log in through Facebook, and it'll be for free.
You shouldn't have to pay for it, Debbie. I mean, I'm on Skype right now, and I've been on Skype every time, and it cost me $37 for the year for unlimited conversations in North America. So I call anywhere in North America for free for as long as I want. There's no credits. I don't need to. It's only $37 a year.
So whatever you do, Debbie, the other thing you can do is you can message me on Facebook if you have a home number, which means that if I call you from Los Angeles or New York, which is where this show comes from, and as long as it isn't long distance for you to receive, like a cell phone, I can call you. All you have to do is just message me on Facebook, put your number up there, and I promise not to bug you after the show.
Oh, please bug me. I'm kidding. Hey, good night, guys.
He's really good
about
it. Good night. Good night, Debbie. Take care.
I need people to understand that there's no reason for you to pay to be on the air here. There's absolutely no reason for you to pay to be on the air here. We'll work out any option
we can. We'll work it out, Frank.
Hey.
Yeah. Please, don't pay to be on this show. It's not worth it.
Okay.
It is worth it, but there's no reason to. Debbie, I'll help you out with anything. If you need any help, okay, sweetheart? You let me know.
Okay.
Well, that's why I said, Storm, I'll call you at home. But in case some people, just while we're on the subject, some people do not have, you know, unlimited minutes on long-distance calls and yada, 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 and all that stuff. But there are ways around it with the show. First of all, the Skype application here is free for people who are calling Blog Talk Radio. I pay for that. I pay for the right for you to speak to me for free on this program, and I pay for the right to have a phone so that I can call people. If not, like some people, it doesn't matter whether whether they call or I call them, because the cell phone, it doesn't matter. It's if you receive a long-distance call or you speak to a long-distance call, it's the same difference. But whatever we have to do to work out that you don't have to pay, the last thing I want to hear is that somebody's paying to be on the show. John used to spend a couple hundred dollars a month to be on the show. And I said, why don't I just call you?
I'm computer literate, so I mean, I'm 45 years old, and I've only been on the computer for a year now, so I'm just getting used to it.
Frank, your phone number, and he'll call you.
Yep.
Yep.
I did.
It's really easy.
That's what he said on the Facebook here.
Okay.
I'll give Frank my number.
Yeah.
Matt, I'll take your number. Put it on. All I ask, guys, before you say goodbye.
I want her number. Is she single?
What about your roommate?
Hold up, everybody. She's a Ryder fan. Let's not forget.
I can get
through that.
Girl has green underwear.
Debbie's telling you to mind your own business.
Don't go there.
Okay.
Debbie's telling you to mind your own business, Manasi. She likes your voice, but mind your own business.
But I love Manasi's voice.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Out of everybody in the room, which game are you most waiting to see when the season starts?
When the season starts.
I'd have to say the
Red Blacks
home opener.
You guys can't talk all at once here. You have to speak once.
Yeah.
One person.
Okay.
Yeah. What games are you waiting to see? Out of everybody.
In CFL?
Yep. CFL.
No, in the NBA.
You're in Calgary. You're in Calgary.
John Cornish all the way.
So you're in Edmonton. The game you're waiting for is Calgary. That's a given. For me,
Right, but
it's for me, it's a tie between the first game the Red Blacks come here, and of course the Labor Day game.
Yeah, at Toronto and Hamilton.
Yeah,
well, the Labor Day game is always nice. Yes, like Calgary and Edmonton, Labor Day's game is good and stuff like that. But me, I would actually go to an actually Edmonton-Saskatchewan game just to cheer for nobody.
That sounds fun.
What about you, Manasseh?
And I still wear my colors.
I like that. I'm going to the game so I can waste my time.
And you know what? I've done that. I've gone there with my Stampeders, Edmonton there, and I'm just sitting there drinking my beer and nothing.
You're like, you would be like the most hated guy in the stadium by far.
Yeah, but you know what? I haven't got beat up yet, though.
Right. Hey, Manasseh, what games are you waiting to see?
Yeah, I think Calgary, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan. That's about it.
Okay.
How about you, Manasseh? You've been asked.
Red Blacks home opener, and then the burning sensation
from last year and other years and blah 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 and blah blah.
Well,
blah,
you got
blah,
a burning sensation.
We
need to get that checked out. But no, the Red Blacks home opener.
Oh yeah, I got an appointment tomorrow.
Exactly, and the Ticats. I want to.
What do you mean exactly? How do you know?
Well,
as an
Argo, you were,
you'll like this. I'm still trying to get rid of the burning sensation from the East Final.
My two games I want to see: Ottawa,
Vaseline,
and Ottawa, Saskatchewan. And the number one game I want to watch is Montreal and BC.
Montreal.
Why the heck would you care about that?
Oh, yeah. You mean
because he's
the
mad
first...
about Chad Johnson and being snubbed by Wally Buono, and he's not letting go.
Yeah. That's a week two Friday night game at Montreal. That's going to be great.
Don't you think the biggest rivalry in the whole league is Calgary-Saskatchewan now?
Oh, no way.
And the
Toronto-Hamilton. I've always been Toronto-Hamilton.
I don't know. I'd say Calgary-Saskatchewan.
No.
Oh, the reason, that's a one-sided rivalry, right? The Stamp always lose the Riders.
I disagree.
Except
Storm,
1 year.
There's nothing that gets the dander up than Saskatchewan going into Winnipeg. Nothing.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, the Banjo Bowl.
That's going to be a real
Banjo Bowl. Bunch of inbred.
But who gives a heck about Winnipeg, though? Really?
Saskatchewan
right
here.
We lost
right
Kelly.
Here.
That should be two wins for Calgary.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
It was last year, but you'll be surprised. You know, the team is
not know. Winnipeg's going to end up
the big thing you
got to
worry about. Right, I know, but the thing you got to worry about as a Stamps fan is you got to worry about your aging defense, number one. Number two, you got to worry about your quarterback situation. Because if you're going to be saying Tate's not the answer, that means you got to trust a 24-year-old who started one game as your starting quarterback.
That's why the guy that matters is hurt.
And the guy that's hurt.
I didn't want Glenn to go.
But he's gone.
I know.
And I know where he is.
But
and he's happy to be there.
Hey, you know
but
what? And Manasseh's right, man, because if you're going to give your...
Hawaii, so I don't know. Maybe he could be something. Who knows?
Who? Are you talking about...
Yeah,
they signed
Masoni from... they signed a quarterback from the University
from
of Hawaii.
Hawaii.
That's not going to be your answer either. I'm sorry. Your team's
going
to be
No, it's not. Really.
I don't know anything about the guy.
Unless John Cornish runs for like 2,000 yards, that's their whole offense. It's him.
Well, yeah, but in the playoffs, they won't
have that last year, so.
Soompass is gone, so you don't have that hole for Cornish.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I was so happy last year, even though Calgary lost to Saskatchewan. That really, 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 really pissed me off.
Yeah, they got
like
spanked.
Really, and the other main thing was like Cornish won the Russian title. That just made me so happy. So it's sort of almost evened out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even though he's never done anything in the playoffs.
Cornish is a better running back than Sheets is. I know that.
Oh,
know
come
that.
On. Yeah. Well, right.
We all know
what
that,
about
Corn.
What Sheets did in
Everybody
the playoffs when it mattered?
Day.
Even my dead grandma knows that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. So you're telling me a guy that went 135 in the first playoff game, he did 177 yards against Calgary, and then 197 in the Grey Cup?
please, yeah, man. What did Cornish do? Cornish had like 35 yards in the West Final.
Yeah, but we're talking the whole season here, buddy, though.
Manasseh, put your stats in perspective, okay? 7.6 yards per carry to 5.4 yards per carry. Cornish was a better running back. The only thing that happened is the Riders' offense sucked so bad they had to give the ball so often to Sheets to save their ass down the field. Okay? That's the only reason why Sheets was even in the running for a running back.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to leave it like this. Right. John Cornish will always be the Carmelo Anthony of the CFL. He's always regular season,
yes, sir.
Playoff time, he never shows up. I've never seen Cornish have a big playoff game, ever. The Grey Cup in 2012,
never.
No show. West Final last year, no show.
Calgary
year before that, no show.
Never.
Calgary
he never
never.
Does anything
in
the postseason when
the
it counts.
Playoffs, though, right? And just, I don't know what it is.
Right, and then she put on like the most epic performance in the postseason, and he topped it off with a record-breaking Grey Cup game.
Oh, no,
not even a conversation to be had.
I didn't watch the game, but I mean, I seen the highlights because I don't watch anything that Calgary doesn't play in.
Oh, see,
which is really unfortunate because you're missing good football.
Well,
most
I know
of
I'm,
us here
no, I'm a CFL
fan,
like dying hard, but I'm just Stampeders, though. You know what? You got
yeah,
you
so
understand
you're Calgary.
That,
you're not a CFL fan. You're a Calgary fan.
I'm
by your own definition.
CFL, like I love how they
watching
have
Calgary play.
The 1 point you could punt it in the end zone and win the game, sort of thing. Blah blah blah. That the States don't have, and you know I just love the game, but I just want my Stamps to win every single freaking year.
Yeah, but we all want the same thing. We all want the same thing, but we also get a kick out of watching the other games. Which is, I think, what Manasseh is trying to
talk. Other games, too.
I thought you only watched... No, but you did say... I could have swore I heard you say that you only watch the games that the Stamps play, and everybody else, you watch the highlights, and that's it. I thought that's what you said.
No,
that's Calgary's in
hot
water,
I meant the Grey Cup. I meant the Grey Cup.
Oh, the Grey Cup. Oh, okay.
The Grey
you
Cup,
can't,
yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, I can understand that. You can't stomach the idea of your team not being in it. That's got to be tough.
Right.
They lost. It's just it's just
right.
A bad,
I get that. But still, there's no.
Let me say one thing, Frank. When it comes to Calgary this year, Calgary is going to be the only team that's going to have a quarterback carousel every freaking week. They don't know who they start are going to be 15 minutes before the freaking game.
I probably agree with you.
Unfortunately, unless Tate stops getting injured. He's their only hope right now.
Sorry.
I
would go with Levi.
You know, the sad thing is when Tate stayed healthy, he'd be the league MOP because I've never seen Drew Tate have a bad game. He's always played phenomenal.
But isn't Bo Levi hurt?
When does
isn't
he play,
Levi
though?
Isn't Bo hurt?
No.
Isn't Bo Levi Mitchell
hurt? You only play one game.
No, Mitchell's okay. He's fine. It's a, it was Adrian McPherson
that's
on the...
Adrian McPherson was hurt, and they cut him.
I know he's hurt.
How old
Mitchell,
24? How old Tate, 24?
No,
Tate's 29,
and Mitchell's 24.
Yeah.
Okay, Tate's 29.
We got two quarterbacks
sure
in the West that I think...
Yeah,
there's two quarterbacks in the West
that
are underrated. One is Tate, and the other is Nichols.
Yeah.
I don't think Tate's underrated. He's a huge threat on the field. All he has to do is stay healthy, and he's going to be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
One
so
more
we're
hit,
not
he'll
under,
be old again.
We're not underestimating him. We're just being realistic about his fragile body.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess.
It's a shame.
Because he's
it's
one more hit, he'll be old
again.
He's just too injury prone.
And one thing I'm gonna tell you about Bo Levi Mitchell. Only thing Bo Levi Mitchell has to do here now is get some experience at playing the quarterback position, and Bo Levi Mitchell will be in the NFL. Man, he just needs some time to play.
I don't think he'll be in the NFL though.
No, Jerry
Jones. I think
he's gonna
be the starting quarterback for Calgary for many years.
But
he's got
a
potential though.
Yeah, he's a Texas guy, and he's been a Dallas Cowboys radar since he was in college. He just needs a little bit more playing time. Trust me.
But anything can happen. Look at Joe Theismann in 1986, right?
Yeah. The best quarterbacks to me are in the CFL, man. That's where you learn how to play the quarterback position.
Well, you know, I give those guys credit because, you know what, I mean, I couldn't do it.
You know what I mean? I couldn't do it. I'm an insulator. I couldn't do it. You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, that's their choice in life, and that's the way they go. But I just don't agree with the wage they get. But you know. But.
Hey Frank, you know what? When this strike is over with, man, when they set his contract, y'all gonna have to let me know what area y'all get y'all tickets in. So when I purchase me and the family tickets, man, I can be somewhere near y'all guys.
Yeah, what game are you guys trying to go to? Like, what's the game you guys are, like, picking? We should all go to the same game together, man.
You know what? I'm trying to see Montreal
Edmonton,
when it comes to Toronto.
Edmonton and Calgary, hello.
No. I'm going out to the BC Ottawa game September 5th out in Ottawa. That's my goal this year.
Wow.
And then 2 days later, going to watch Hamilton and Montreal in Montreal.
So it's my
road trip.
Game,
yeah.
Or it's the day after, or it's the week.
It's
after.
The week after the. Labor Day. Yes. Yeah, September 5th is the.
Yeah, they have it on Saturday now. They used to have it on Fridays, but last year they had it on Saturday, and this year they have it on Saturday too. So I don't understand that, but.
That Montreal Hamilton game sounds like a good game too, man. I wouldn't mind going to Montreal myself.
Well,
I'm only
if I
what,
had a second
like
favorite
10
team,
hours, I'm only like 10 hours away from Montreal.
Montreal is my second favorite team. So
that's Sunday the 7th, September the 7th is Hamilton, Montreal, and Friday the 5th, BC and Ottawa. And from all understanding that I've been told, they're an hour and a half apart by train, Ottawa and Montreal. So
nice.
I'm flying into Montreal, staying with my brother-in-law, taking the train up to Ottawa, watch the game, come back, watch Montreal, and go home.
Come up Thursday, July 24th for the Edmonton-Calgary game then.
That
got quiet, didn't it?
What?
You're going to have a tough time convincing Chris to watch any game that doesn't involve BC, especially if it's out west.
Right.
I watch every
real.
Single game tonight.
I'll cheer for Calgary and I'll cheer for Calgary and then at least we'll have a fan.
But I'm not going to go on a road trip and not see my Lions. It doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah,
I'm
inclined.
I hear you. Where are you guys talking from here?
What do you mean?
Well,
where
I mean, Christopher is a
like,
BC Lions fan, and he's in
no,
Vancouver.
No, but where are you guys?
Frank's
where
in
are
Toronto.
You guys right now?
I'm in Vancouver
right now. I'm.
You all in Vancouver?
At me right now.
No,
I'm
Chris
I'm
is in
US
Vancouver.
Vancouver, Michigan, Minnesota, BC, and you're in Edmonton. There's five of us left.
Frank's in Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm in
hey,
Mississauga,
July
24th, which is next
Calgary and Edmonton, right here at Commonwealth.
That's Toronto.
Yeah. No, hey, listen, I was going to go to the Winnipeg game, but unfortunately finances have precluded my doing that. So that's the way it goes.
Right.
I can no longer afford
to go.
Manasseh, so.
You going to Winnipeg?
Why would
you go
to Winnipeg
this year, man, for a game?
Yeah, I'm trying to
Winnipeg's
go to the,
got a new
the
stadium.
August 7th against the Riders. That's a big game in the Banjo Bowl. I got to. That's a must.
That's not
okay.
August 7th. That's
well,
September 7th.
Sort of the same thing with the Labor Day, right?
No, they play the Riders three times this year. They have a game on Thursday, August 7th, and then they have the two Labor Day around Labor Day. So
that's my birthday.
My uncle's a police officer there, so he's got season tickets, so I can go to Bomber games anytime.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan. Cause I'm trying to go to Winnipeg myself, man. I'm trying to go to like three or four places this year. So
yeah,
you know,
I think Winnipeg
is
going
to
be one of my stops
been to
this
Winnipeg?
Year too.
Why would you wanna?
Oh, Winnipeg's a decent city, man. It's not bad. I mean, it's not the best, but I like small cities.
It's not bad. It's not the best, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a bad reputation, but it's a decent city.
Never been.
Right. I mean, hey,
pick up small pigs over there.
Hey, it's not as bad as Regina, though. You got to give them that. It's not Saskatchewan.
Yeah, but then now they're on the west, so that should be a couple good easy wins for Calgary.
Yeah, maybe. It might be. But
hey,
then again, we'll see.
Then again, it's the CFL, right?
Right.
Right. And like I said, man, we've been having this conversation about the CFL for over 3 years. This is the third year that we done had this CFL group, and we hit 4,000. Man, this year is the best year to be a CFL fan, man, hands down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And like we talked about it before. All the training camps that's going crazy, I mean – they still having them out here, man, these free agent camps out here in the States. Because my boy, Frank, Dre Primetime. He's going to one this weekend, and he said he's going to let us know how he does when he go. So
which
Dre Primetime,
is he going to,
man?
Which team? Which team's trying
to ask him, man?
Okay.
He said it was just a CFL. It's a CFL prison tryout. He said he's going. He been working hard. So shouts out to Dre Primetime, man.
Yeah,
for
hope
real.
He makes it, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that really pisses me off. Sorry for saying piss, but whatever. Is I have so much stuff galore for Stampeders, and you know what? I have not one autographed signature by one Stampeder ever. I got hockey, I got baseball, I got NFL, but I don't have the Stampeders, which I want dearly. And
is that because you're in Edmonton, or what's
but living in Edmonton, so what are you going to do?
Oh, okay.
Go down and just,
well, what's,
you know,
the drive?
Like, go down to their freaking locker room when they're playing in Edmonton, or what? And hold a gun.
Well,
how far
is the drive from Edmonton to Calgary? It's only about 4 hours, isn't it?
No, 3 hours.
I thought it was like maybe less than that. 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
yeah,
I thought.
Well, 3 hours.
3 hours? Go down
no,
and watch
but I don't
the
know. I don't
talk
know who to
see.
I don't
sideline.
Know who to talk to. I don't know who to, you know, what to do.
Norm,
I mean,
Norm.
They have,
here's
the
trick,
Pat. They have
all,
the women's
all the
camp.
Practices are open. Just go down to their practice facility, sit around, watch the practice, and all the players go and talk to the fans afterwards. It's like that in every CFL city. Bruce John Itch does it in Hamilton. Frank does it in Toronto. I do it in BC. It doesn't matter where you are. These players are down-to-earth people. You just have to walk up to them, say, hey, man, I appreciate your time and effort that you're putting in here. Do you mind signing this for me? And every one of them will do it. So just go watch a practice. Don't watch a game. Go down and to Calgary and watch a practice.
Oh, well, don't do it at a game then.
Do it at a practice. It works.
At a practice.
They have time.
Okay.
They're not stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Storm. If you want, there's actually a Calgary Stampeder podcast called The Horseman. I think it's CFLHorseman.ca. But if you connect with those guys, man, they do all kind of stuff like getting player merchandise and autographs, so they can probably hook you up.
Just check them out. It's not something like I'm going to sell. It's just something I'm going to save for the rest of my life, right?
Right. No. Yeah. Because I remember one of their shows, they had one of their listeners that gave them an autographed John Cornish jersey. So they get a lot of good stuff. They just give it away for just random listeners.
That'd be sweet.
Yep. Manasseh? Huh? Never mind.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you after, buddy.
Okay. So are you guys going to watch preseason games? Are you guys excited for to see? Because I think the first preseason game is next Monday, right? June 9th. I think Toronto at Winnipeg.
Toronto at Winnipeg, June
but
9th,
you know,
Monday.
But do the preseason games be on TV? Or can we? They don't really show them on TV. Well, not in the States, they don't.
I watch them. They anything that's on TSN, there's a million really good streams if you watch it online, like high def screw streams. I just
Toronto
my
Winnipeg
my
game.
TV.
The first preseason game, Toronto and Winnipeg, is on TSN. The BC Edmonton game is on TSN. The Montreal Hamilton game is not. Saskatchewan Ottawa is. Winnipeg Calgary is. The only other games that's not, Hamilton-Toronto is not, and the Edmonton-Saskatchewan one is not. Every other game is on TSN.
Okay.
So they're only missing three or four.
So you know what? If it's going to be broadcast on TSN, then I might better catch it on ESPN3 then. I'm going to have to check
your schedule. You can always grab it on First Row Sports.
First Row Sports? Okay, cool.
And if you can't find a link, just if you go to the CFL Is page, people always post good links on there, like JustinTV.com
the
is the best
one. And
the
other thing is you can always watch it on video on repeat, video on demand on TSN website about 2 hours after the game. And it's up there for a week.
Okay, cool.
So
I just want to
see
some of these guys, man.
Speaking of the TSN broadcast, you guys know the panel that they have, you know, before the game and at halftime?
Yeah, Dave Randorf has left.
Yeah, he's leaving. I was like, I wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
I think La Police will jump in there somewhere, isn't he?
Who did?
No, you know the host of the they're like
the short guy,
Dave Randorf, the short guy with the glasses. Looks like he might be.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Now, who's taking his place?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, and they haven't decided yet. It might be Jock Climie. If not, they'll probably get a woman to do it. Like, you know, like they have.
But we don't
lady.
Care. We just want to play football.
Man, you know what? Actually, I'm gonna tell you something, man. Really, Manasseh, you just made a good point. They should put a woman up in there, man, to be on that panel. I mean, because really, if you look at all the sports, they all have women, man, that know about these sports. Like the basketball, we got Sage. And we got, what's the other woman, Doris Burks. I mean, man, it'll be a good look to have a sexy female up there on the CFL panel, man, for real.
Well, Steve Randorf knew nothing about football. You might as well put him on.
Was he gay, though? I always thought he was gay. Is he?
I don't think so.
Just... Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's just short.
He's bi.
And, but you know what, though, too? If Dave Randolph is gone, man, I mean, who's going to be the number one panel guy, man? Jock Climie or Milt Stegall?
It'll be Climie.
No,
that's what they
host?
Did last year when during the Olympics when Randolph was gone. They had Climie take that spot.
Yeah.
Because Climie be putting it on the show, man. That guy's good on there, dude. That guy's good.
Yeah, he is.
And, man,
yeah, his moment.
We might mess around and see G-Ray. We might see G-Ray on that bad boy since he retired.
Yeah, I think
that's
going
to happen. About that?
Yeah, G-Ray retiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the writing
Who's
was on the wall
by
on that one.
Nobody.
No, I don't think anyone was. But
hey, y'all know who else can host? Who could take that spot though? Y'all know who can do that?
Uh huh.
Why don't you take that spot, Candy Frank? All yours, brother.
Is Frank even here anymore? I think Frank might have left.
He muted himself.
Yeah, I think he made his own mic. Well, since he made his own mic, I want to give a shout-out to my girl, Ebb, and give a shout-out to my baby, Sid. I'll see y'all in a couple of weeks. Love y'all.
Oh,
where are you right now? Or, Mike, where are you?
Yeah, I'm right now. I'm in Virginia, man. I don't know what part of Virginia I'm in. I know we sit at a truck stop.
Wow.
My trainee taking his break, so I'm just sitting. I was in the back chilling, talking to y'all, man, while he was getting his ride on, you know.
Awesome.
I got another. He going to... He graduating this year, this Friday. He upgrading, get his own truck. So I got five out of six that upgraded to solo status. So I'm working on another one. Get him out, get another one in.
Cool. I finally get to relax after that wedding's over. That's one big thing.
Oh, yeah. Congrats
on
your
a new son-in-law, man.
Yeah, I got a new son-in-law. Yeah. That was a big event for me. It was happening Saturday night, and everything went just priceless. It was just perfect. It was just outstanding. It couldn't have happened any better.
Great. Nice. Did you get to walk your daughter down the aisle?
I did.
I got to do that.
I got to do all sorts of things. I got to give her away. I got to speak, you know, did the father of the bride speech. I did rock the whole thing.
Wow, nice, man. It's a big moment.
It was an event I would not trade for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Congrats, Chris, for real. Got your son-in-law.
Yeah, congrats.
You got somebody to go to the BC Lions game with you and Luke? You know what I'm saying?
No. No, he's not a sports guy, but he's a great guy, but he's just not a sports dude.
Oh, maybe you got to take him to a game and let him experience it, and maybe he'll change his view.
He's a redneck farmer. I don't think he's ever... been more than about 5 miles away from this farm.
What?
Farm.
Chris, it's never a dumb moment with Chris.
Well, I'm serious, man. He's a dairy farmer, right? He hasn't been more than 5 miles away from his farm. It's,
wow.
He likes his life. He likes his cows.
Right.
So where
right.
is that? Is that like northern British Columbia, or where is that?
Oh, no. It's right in 15 minutes from me.
Oh, okay.
We're only an hour and a half out of Vancouver.
Okay. To the north, or where are you? East?
East. You can't go north out of Vancouver. There's a big mountain range there. You can't go west, there's an ocean. You can't go south, there's America. You can only go east out of
America. Oh, man. You can never forget how much you hate Americans. This never fails.
Yeah, I love America. I think it's a beautiful country. It's a wonderful place. It's just too bad it's wasted on so many Americans.
Exactly.
Chris is crazy.
But
hey, Manasseh, I wanted to ask you a question, man. It's this place up in Minnesota, man. that I was trying to get a load to, I think it's called Bariti, Minnesota, or something like that, because they got a team that called the Axemen.
Okay.
And I was trying to get a load up there so I could see my boy Chris Dixon, man, put on the show, but I was never able to get up there. I don't even know where that place is at. I think it's called Bariti or something like that.
Okay. It's an arena football team. I'll check it out. What's their name? The Axemen?
Yeah, the Axemen, man. Beretta? The Axemen. They play in the IFL.
Beretta?
No, it's called. It's somewhere not too far from Minneapolis, and I was trying to get a load up there, man, but they couldn't get me a load up there. It's called Bariti or something like that, but they got a team up there, man, and that plays in the IFL.
Okay.
And my buddy Chris Dixon played for Sioux Falls, man. They came up there. I was trying to get up there so I can see him put on the show, man, but I couldn't get up there.
Okay, gentlemen, the town, it's spelled B-E-M-I-D-J-I.
Oh, Bemidji. Okay, now I know you're talking
about. Yeah, Bemidji, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a team there, man. The Axemen.
Wow,
yeah,
they got a team in Bemidji.
Jamaica
I would have never thought that. it's crazy. Yeah. Bemidji's, like, super small, man. It's wow. Okay, I got to check it out. I didn't even know we had an indoor football league. No, Bemidji's super tiny. That's not even – Regina would look like a giant city next to
499 people and 500 aren't there.
Hey, Chris. Hey man, here. You know Chris Dixon and the Sioux Falls Storms, man, they're still undefeated, man. They ain't lost a game in 3 years, dude.
I know. CD's awesome.
Yeah, he's somebody
Mike,
called
I gotta,
somebody said –
Calgary should pick him
go
up.
Go ahead, Manasseh.
No, I was just going to ask you, Mike, if, like, have you –
Calgary don't
need
anybody. They got a good enough team to win.
Yeah, who's your CFL team now? Because have you made up your mind on who you're
pick up Calgary. Say Calgary.
Man, who's the
question?
No,
man,
you know what?
He was asking me. I'm going to tell you something, man.
Okay.
Really, I was going with the Riders because I started drinking the Rider Kool-Aid, man, during the Grey Cup. You know, I had to, you know, sink it in and take it. But now, man, you know, I'm straight Montreal, bro.
I was
going to say. Alouette, game you
want to
play.
I was the same way. That the Riders draw you in, but then for me, I just decided to go locally, like the closest team to me, and I have to go Winnipeg. That's what I was going to ask.
That's what I did, closest team to me.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So
but you know what,
Detroit,
isn't
Michigan, aren't you near Southern Ontario? Like, isn't Toronto and Hamilton not that far away?
Oh, you can throw a rocket
Toronto
one at another. They're not even 45 minutes apart. In fact,
if
I lived in, if you lived in Hamilton, Toronto Stadium is closer to you than I am right now to BC Place. It would take you less time to go back and forth. You could go to Hamilton, Toronto, and back before I could get to Vancouver.
Yep.
Wow.
They're not far apart at all. And from where Detroit is to Windsor, man, I could skip a rock across the Detroit River, man, hit somebody in the head or in Windsor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without question.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said last show when I said that, is it possible to have a Windsor team, a Windsor-based CFL team, playing in Pontiac?
Yeah, how far is Pontiac
from Windsor?
I'm going to
tell you. Pontiac from Detroit is 30 miles.
Yeah.
And then from Pontiac to Windsor is how far?
It's close.
Maybe 31 and a half miles, maybe a mile across over the bridge and come back.
Okay.
You know, but I'm going to tell you something. When they was going to put that CFL team in Detroit where they did the expansion, the dude that owned them, man, the Shreveport Pirates dude, Glimmerman, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He boycotted. He said, if anybody put a team in Detroit besides me, I would boycott this whole CFL. And they backed off because Michigan was going to be one of the first teams that had a CFL team, and everybody in Detroit was excited, man. I mean, even the Detroit Lions back in the day was endorsing the CFL to come to Detroit.
Yeah. Windsor to Pontiac is 39 minutes.
Wow.
39 minutes,
that's really close.
52 kilometers.
Yep. But I'm going to tell you guys something. The only con about Detroit having a CFL team is not because of the Detroit Lions. It's because a lot of the inner city sports, are all the teams in the inner city that's downtown, they can get fans that can come by the bus, get dropped off, driving. I mean, if you, a lot of inner city people are not going to go way out to Pontiac to see a team, man. Because, you know, a lot of people drive on suspended license. People can't get dropped off and picked up because there's a lot of gas. That's the only reason why it would be a con for a CFL team to come to Detroit, because they wouldn't be playing in Detroit.
There's not,
they'd be
like
playing in
public transit or anything like that, right?
Nope, not that would run way out to Pontiac, because Pontiac and Detroit, that's like a 30-minute drive, man. You know what I'm saying? So if Detroit could find a way to put a stadium in Detroit, downtown, say, not, I'm not going to say near Ford Field, but maybe on Belle Isle or something, where you can call it the Belle Isle Stadium, man, Detroit, regardless of Detroit Lions, anyway, they will pack the house on a Thursday and Friday night to watch the CFL game.
Yeah, but see, Andreas Apostolopoulos, whatever this Greek guy's name is, the CEO of a Triple Properties, Toronto-based company, bought the Silverdome, right? He owns the Silverdome,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to put a CFL team in there. So he's been trying, he's been talking, having talks with Cohan about putting a team into Detroit or into Pontiac specifically, into the Silverdome. And
wow.
the talks have basically come back and has said that we will not put an American team into the CFL at this point in time. It's not going to happen. So my question was, can we put a Canadian team into Windsor but having home field at Pontiac?
That would be great.
It'd be nice.
You know, they're a Canadian
team
in Windsor. The head office, the practice facility, whatever's in Windsor, but they play in the Pontiac Stadium, Silverdome.
Yeah. Yep. That,
it'd be tough
yep.
because how could you? I mean, how could you sell them as a Canadian team? Everyone would be like, "Oh, they're playing in America," so they would still be labeled as an American team.
Right, but they
yeah.
would be
yeah,
considered
that.
A Canadian corporation running Canadian rules and Canadian importation rules, Canadian everything else. Right, so you
yeah,
could keep
yeah.
all of
yep.
that and just have the team play their home games there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot
yeah,
of ways
that
you
would be
work
great.
Around that.
There's been a lot of buzz from
from Americans trying to buy in and get team like American teams. There's been way more of that than any Canadian, any like Halifax, Quebec City. No one's really stepped forward to really make anything happen. But there's tons of people behind the scenes trying to get an American team in Western New York, Michigan. Some are trying to put one in Spokane, Washington, Boise, Idaho, Fargo, North Dakota. All these places have been floated, and the CFL has rejected every single one of them.
Yeah, they have.
And you know what? You know
there's
what
a lot
I think? I think they
why.
Is too, because they don't have this. They don't have the CFL stadiums yet. They want a team, but they don't have mm-hmm. no stadium that they. If they, the stadiums they do have, you're gonna have to refurbish them to be a CFL stadium. You see what I'm saying? And Pontiac is the only one that's being furbished to fit a
right.
CFL team.
Yeah,
and
Pontiac is building this to be a CFL MLS field. Right, I mean that's what they're doing
yeah.
right now. They're renovating the Silverdome to put an MLS team in there and a CFL size field because he wants a CFL team in there. So you know that's the only reason why I'm bringing this up right now, because I know that the CFL expansion into America is just not going to happen, and not in the next 10-20 years. But is
mm-hmm.
it a possibility? And I just wanted to float this one to find out what you guys' thought was, if it was a Canadian team based out of Windsor, Ontario, in the Eastern Division, playing home field in Pontiac.
No.
Yeah. That would be good. That would be
no.
good.
You don't think so, Manasseh?
That
why?
Would. No.
No, just the only reason I would say no to that is because there's two other really nice eastern markets in Canada that I think CFL would
Quebec
want to
City.
Go to first. Yeah,
I
Quebec
don't think
City
Halifax is that wonderful of a location.
Really?
I'm not convinced.
I mean, it's a beautiful city.
I'll bring
what about,
the NFL,
what about
bring the NFL to the... Bring the NFL to Canada, then.
No,
oh,
that's
no.
not going to happen.
Well, that's
nobody
what I mean.
Do that.
So,
no,
so you can't be two-faced by saying that you're going to have a Canadian team in America.
Oh, but the Americans.
I mean,
if
they put an NFL team
look
in Toronto,
how it blew up
that would just,
90s, right?
Yeah, but if they did, I mean,
see,
that would kill the Argos. The Argos would have to either move or have to fold. Like
I was telling Frank there.
you know, the Las Vegas posse, Saskatchewan Rough Riders there in Las Vegas. They had 1,800 fans, and I seen my cousin on TV because he's a diehard Saskatchewan fan. Like, I mean, there's no 1,800 fans
but
for a football game.
Storm. They put those teams in the absolute worst locations. I mean, come on, Shreveport,
thank you, Chris.
Louisiana.
I know,
thank
and
you,
it has nothing
Memphis,
to do with the players.
Tennessee?
It has to do with the freaking commissioner.
No,
I remember at the time.
Storm, let me just go at this one for a second, because I know every one of all of us can do this. Is they went into teams that knew nothing about the CFL. Detroit knows about the CFL, okay? The teams along the northern border of America are our football fans. They watch the games now. They follow the teams. They are like that, right? So they know the rules. They know the game. They know everything about it. They love the team. They would love to see a team in their location, but it would have to be across within 200-300 miles of the north of the Canadian border, because those are the guys that have been getting the TV signals for years and years and years and have been watching the Canadian game.
Exactly.
And I know Mike Towns has been watching the CFL way longer than he's been watching the NFL.
Yeah,
exactly.
And
like
see,
when
I'm
going to
pick up on this, too.
Exactly. When I lived in Trail, B.C., and I went down to Spokane, Washington, which was only a two-hour drive, right? I mean, at the time, it showed the Looney and stuff like that. Like, they knew what it was, but the further you went, they didn't know what the Looney was. So
right.
I get your point.
It's like this, too. When the CFL decided to expand in the States, you cannot put a Canadian team down in the South. Louisiana.
No.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
You have to be right at the border sort of thing.
1 minute.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Shreveport, Louisiana.
There you are, Frank.
Vegas, Memphis. Them are places that you shouldn't have put a CFL team. New York, Portland, Salt Lake City, Detroit, and even Milwaukee would have been the perfect spot for a CFL expansion.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Baltimore
yep,
was a good spot.
And Baltimore. And Baltimore is right there near Canada. I mean, maybe,
and
what,
even
100
even
miles
Spokane,
from Ontario?
Even Spokane.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's something close. I mean, I put up
a list
of 25
right
American cities that take a CFL team.
With the CFL.
What? Sorry?
So I think CFL expansion, if it was to come to the States, stay northern, and it'd do great. You know, we got 10 seconds off.
But it's not going to happen because it's already failed, and it's not going to happen.
No, that's not
true. It's going to happen.
It's not true, Storm.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It might not happen in this lifetime.
Shut up. Okay, guys. Thanks. We hope you've enjoyed this live banter about expansion to the United States. The show's about over in a few seconds. I can't tell you exactly when, but I will say this has been Candid Frank Live, a different spin. I decided to take a break and let the guys go at her. I'll hear what they had to say later. Right now is real busy. Hey, listen, thanks for tuning in. Candid Frank Live, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We do.